Good morning. I'm Eric Reeser. It's day two of fall camp for the football Buckeyes. Ohio State's 29 days out from hosting Ball State Saturday, September 5th. Freshman receiver Legend Bay did not participate on Thursday. He's been suspended for a violation of team rules. Ryan Dez says Bay will miss a couple of days. Buckeyes will open practice to the fans again on Saturday. The fan will be live from the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for camp coverage all weekend long. In the NFL last night, the Panthers rallied to beat the Cardinals 33-30 in the Hall of Fame game. Carolina's Hayes King scrambled for the game-winning touchdown as time expired. Preseason for the Browns and Bengals begins next week. In baseball, Thursday, Mets swept the Guardians with a 13-6 win in Cleveland. Guardians are three back of the White Sox in the Central. Cleveland heads to Chicago for a weekend with those Sox at 7:40. This update is sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Tabari here.
Well, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of the program. Both the boys with you for the next three as we broadcast live. Mr. Rabinowitz is here on day two of Ohio State football training camp. Pretty loaded up for you. 20 most interesting is, you guessed it, your Ohio State Buckeyes. We will get to that at 10 o'clock. Tim May will join in that hour as well. We anticipate Ross Bjork coming over here around 9:30, and then a cavalcade of stars around 10:45, really all the way till about 11:45 is the way that this thing will track out. We anticipate Ross around 9:30. Arthur Smith potentially coming over, new offensive coordinator. Reese just mentioned it in the update. Well, before I get to that, let's also acknowledge this. This was supposed to be an outside practice. Weather became inclement, and within 10 minutes, they moved a couple thousand people in an entire practice and all the media indoors, and it's fine.
It's more than fine.
We were talking with, like, Nicole and Dom, and I'm like, is there enough room in here for this? Oh, there is, Reese, and it ends up being an upgrade for us.
This is the best possible thing you could have gotten as a fan, as someone who covers the team. Even for these players, I think, you know, we were talking to Austin Saraveld yesterday, and he had mentioned just kind of the camp atmosphere really helped. I think take them away from the mundane of what can sometimes be summer, and then you tack it on to this. It's not that I don't love you. I have great love for you, but right now I am watching great friend of the program, James Laurinaitis, lead the linebackers in drills. We're, what, 50 yards away from him? And the
not
fans
even,
have similar access to camp practice all morning long. This is as good as we could have hoped for.
Yeah, you're in a situation, from our vantage point, selfishly, this is an upgraded experience because James is 20 yards from us going through the paces with his linebackers. Had a quick chat with him before everything. He did a classic James thing. We called his linebackers in to meet the boys, which was really
cool.
One of them came over.
That was really cool.
Peyton Pierce leading the way. And then, you know, this was the first time that I've got a look at, like, Riley Pettijohn since last, you know, we saw him in spring, but he didn't participate, right? Well, now, I mean, good Lord. Like, those sophomore linebackers are unbelievable. Peyton, obviously, leading the bunch. Christian Allegro, who's big, right next to him. Those two are out of central casting. Kind of remind you a little bit from a size standpoint, like the Bob, AJ, James size type big linebackers. They kind of have that feel to them. So, a really impressive room that Threes has there. And it reminded me a little bit of the conversation we had yesterday with Matt Patricia when I asked him about replacing that triumvirate. And he said, well, you can't. You can't worry about replacing because you can't replace those guys. But he said, what I think we will see is we will come in waves. Like, he was happy about their depth. That last year, Caleb doesn't come off, Sonny doesn't come off, or Devel doesn't come off.
Could take any of them at any time.
But now I think you will see a lot more a lot more subbing and, and showing off kind of the depth of this Buckeye defense, and we're getting a firsthand look at it. And as we're talking right now, we're right into 11 on 11. I'm sure this is the simple period. Tavian St. Clair under center. This is awesome. Peyton Pierce at linebacker, and away we go. I'm guessing this is just that perfect practice where you're just looking for a snap, and then you hate that if you're Tavian St. Clair. That's a fumble.
Cannot put the ball on the ground.
No.
But you see who's back there, number 25.
You do, and that was interesting that it was Tavian, not Julian. Tavian's going to go take a run.
Tremendous radio.
He's going to take a run because he fumbled a snap.
And unfortunately for our viewers on YouTube, you can only just see us. But
this
right now,
either. Where's Sam?
No, this is not Julian Sane.
Where's Julian?
He was here this morning. I believe you see him.
I do not see him.
I don't either. But they do have another end of the field. They've got two different units going.
So, Reese, you said 25 was in the backfield.
He's way at the other end. Yeah, 25 was in the backfield, Vic.
Well, he was running with the second team yesterday,
I'm thinking that's who we're putting eyes on right now. Man.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah. That's a good job. Yeah, so Brock Boyd's running with the twos. He's split out.
Because Julian's at the other end of the field from us with the ones.
So it's one's offense on the far end, and then two defense, and then one defense, two offense here. That's a subtle change from the NFL, which goes ones v ones, twos v twos. Here they're going to go twos offense, ones defense. And again, they're not really doing anything. They're just starting. So this is that perfect practice that I talked to you about. The NFL teams do this. Obviously, the Browns do this every day with Todd Monken. This is what the Buckeyes are doing here, too. And so all this is you call a play in a huddle. You line up. Defense reacts. They get set in their defense. You set for a second. You snap it. And away you go, and you need it to be perfect. So that's why when there was the fumble from the Tavian St. Clair fumble, both him and the center
had to do a lap.
Go do a lap, because the whole point of this is perfection. It has to be.
And I think it's coming through pretty well on the radio, but just the amount of communication that James has his guys doing is incredible. And I do wonder, you know, at what point in the season maybe do they start to thin that platoon? And I'm talking about the entire defense right now, because there's so much communication there, and I think they're still trying to figure out who's going to be that leader for them, because you've got so much experience. Like, does Christian Allegro, coming over from Wisconsin, but he's played so much college football, not necessarily a leader on day two, but can he work his way into being that alpha for this defense?
Hey, one of them. I mean, for sure. I think Kenyatta's going to do that. Obviously, Peyton Pierce is going to do that. I think Jalen's going to do that. But, I mean, I was talking to Threes about Allegro, because you can tell he was coached by Luke. So, you know, there's a commonality there in terms of approach of coaching a position. You said something in the update that we didn't, as we were doing the show yesterday, were unaware because we were a couple of fields away and weren't able to get eyeballs on anybody. But Legend Bay was out of practice yesterday. He'll be out of practice again today. Going to miss the first couple of days of camp with some disciplinary stuff. And so that's one of those things that is, because he could be an X factor. We haven't seen him, but everything I've heard is that, like, from a physical standpoint, he's really upped it a bunch in terms of his physicality, right? So then at the same time, though, availability, you got to be here. And you're a freshman who's been compensated, and it's time to go be a professional. And how do you get that through to an 18-year-old?
The fact that he's missing these 3 days, you know, is something that I took notice of yesterday when Ryan Day was talking about it. And a violation of team rules, he's going to miss a couple of days. But for him to not have this experience, he'll be here for a little bit, so he'll have plenty of opportunities to do things like this. But when you get to Ohio State, to not be involved with this, I think speaks volumes of, you know, maybe how much of a message they would like to send to the young man to make sure that nothing like that happens in the future.
You get one chance to make a first impression.
It speaks volumes that he's not out here with his team for this.
You know what else speaks volume? The fact that Tyvis Powell could be impacting my children.
I'd be careful here.
I'm a little worried.
If it was Cardell, I'd be totally fine.
Yeah, make sure he's
but
not
the
around.
Fact that,
we can't
you know,
have that.
Well, both of them.
Both
I'd
of
say
them
one
together,
or the other.
I just, easy.
Where's Joshua
easy.
Perry when you need him?
That's the thing. You need a professional.
I'm going to have Perry tackle you. Not too much influence out of you. Oh, the safety room. Tyvis is trying to get him
playing
my middle
safety.
Into the safety room. There you go. Beamsy's favorite team as a kid was the Seahawks, and his favorite player was Richard Sherman. So I was trying to explain to him. We were listening.
There's a connection.
Yeah, we were listening, and I was trying to tell him that about how Tyvis was tight with Richard Sherman. So I don't know if he's connecting the dots, that this is the same human that he heard on the radio this morning.
Yeah.
but
it'll happen.
It'll click at some point. It'll click at some point. So indoors, pretty great. Pretty great job out of Ohio State by getting this all in there. It's going to give us a look at this, Reese, that even we didn't have yesterday. I mean, you're going to be able to really keep an eye on who's kind of looking the part. And again, this is a practice that you're not going to have a whole. This is install. I said this yesterday. This is the very first layer of a house that is being built is what's happening here today. It's critical, but it's very first layers of it. So this is going to be fun for us because we're going to be able to keep a very close eye on all these things.
I mean, that was a really cool opportunity to have Tavian run by. Again, you don't want him to earn the reason as to why he had to run by us, but just to see how everybody looks right now, because you're only in day two.
That's right.
But to get this kind of experience, if you're not able to come out today, tomorrow they'll be open as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'll get this kind of experience, but this is something, man, you don't get ever.
No, you don't.
And we're so
really
fortunate.
Cool.
I just want to make that point. We're so fortunate. We have such a wonderful staff that has put everything together on the fly.
Yeah.
Because we saw a green cloud coming over where we are at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center and had some yellow and some red in it.
Right.
Looks like it's pouring down now.
It is. Yeah.
We are safe. So just want to thank everybody over here for getting this stuff together. Fish, I'm coordinating all of this madness, but we are very fortunate.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you're going to be fortunate, too, because we're going to get to explain here for the next hour and a half everything that we're seeing here. So as I mentioned, 20 Most Interesting now turns its attention to the Buckeyes. We missed Oregon yesterday with all of the live interviews we did, so we'll do that early next week. We'll get the Ducks back on the schedule. They'll be the last of the 20. The Buckeyes are always the last of the 20, but we had to make that little adjustment. So we will do the Buckeyes in the 10 o'clock hour. Tim May will join at 10:30. We anticipate Ross Bjork around 9:30. Cavalcade of Stars in the final hour of the program as well. We are off and running on a Friday, Bishop and Friends, right here on the...
Join the Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State... Yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy Friday. Highs today right around the mid-80s. Feeling a little bit warmer, though, with the combination of all that humidity out there. It's a little muggy as you step out the door. Friday afternoon into the evening hours, isolated showers and storms return back into our forecast. And that's going to get you through the rest of your Friday. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldridge, with 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. After putting up with Dom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
And homes in Columbus know that August brings those aggressive Yellow Jackets wasps. Don't wait for an invasion. Protect your property and family with Rose Pest Solutions Home Service Program. The Rose Home Service Program provides year-round protection, one flat annual fee, regularly scheduled visits. Rose is local. It's family-owned and trusted by your neighbors in Ohio. Over 165 years. That's a long time. Get peace of mind today. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. Day two of Buckeye Camp is underway. We anticipate Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjork joining us here in about, 12 or so minutes from now. In the meantime, the Buckeyes are stretching. Reese, we did have a moment of confusion in that opening perfect set, and there was some reason for that.
Well, yeah, so we had... there were two teams, obviously the ones and the twos, but the defense was going with their ones against Ohio State's twos. And I saw number two for the defense, Kenyatta Jackson. I assumed, okay, those are the Buckeye ones. Looked in the backfield, there's Bo Jackson. But in front of him under center, Tavian St. Clair.
Yeah.
On the far side from us was Julian Sane and Isaiah West taking snaps at running back. And that was what would happen. That was what happened yesterday, where Bo was working with the twos, Isaiah working with the ones. And we do this all the time where it's so early in camp. I think to myself before I said on the air, are we reading too much into that?
I think all the pieces matter.
Yeah.
I think that everything that is done inside of a program, whether it's one at this level, in the NFL, all the pieces matter. Everything is done for a reason. So my guess is that I mean, the only thing that you could infer and connect the dots, and that's dangerous, but the only thing that you could do is that there is something that happened in the offseason that puts Isaiah West ahead and elevates him ahead of Bo Jackson, at least to start camp.
We don't know the severity of their injuries.
No idea. We don't know.
Maybe Bo's not ready to go full go, and Isaiah's ready to pop.
Normally, if it's that, though, he would just be out.
Yeah.
So, My hunch would be that there would be some sort of personality thing that maybe has caused a little bit of a dip, and then so, hey, we're going to start you here. I mean, we've seen this before. I mean, this is an apex level of that, but I remember, you remember Ray Small?
Yeah.
So big-time recruit, got number four, then all of a sudden we showed up 1 year at training camp, and he was an 82.
Yeah.
It was like that's the way that you sometimes you find those ways to kind of get your point across. So that is something to monitor, I do think. And then obviously the legend base stuff where, you know, he's going to miss a couple of days here to get things started. Those are guys when you this is the number one team in the country. It's the number one team in the country despite losing four guys drafted in the top 12 of the NFL draft. So there are questions that need to be answered. There are some certainties, some knowns, but a lot of unknowns about this football team. And you play Texas week two. So you got to get people on the same page quickly here. It's not like last year was the opener. That had a different attitude to it. You get it. We wade into the season a little bit with Ball State, but then you're going to get a haymaker in Austin on a Saturday night, and you need to make sure everybody's on the same page, certainly at least 2 weeks before then.
Yeah, and the attitude different, right, because of the opener. But the sense of urgency is still there.
Yeah.
So I think that from a Buckeye fan standpoint can be appreciated, that this team understands getting those guys up to speed, or at least try to get them to some level of, hey, we were the number one defense last year. We want to be the number one defense again this year. You've got Ball State to iron out some wrinkles with, but you're going to Austin week two to play Arch Manning in Texas, and they have a legitimate number one wide receiver, something that they did not have last year. So a completely different animal and a different monster in a prime time game.
Bake, what do you make of the? I mean, it could just be injury. Who knows? With Bo taking the twos.
That's what I kind of wondered, if maybe he's coming back from injury a little slower than Isaiah West is. But then I thought, yeah, wouldn't he be out?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Remember, Isaiah West got off to a slow start last year because of injury. So maybe Isaiah West would have been ahead of Bo Jackson had everyone been healthy.
Point.
I'm not looking too much into that. I'm far more concerned with the Legend Bay part of all of this, because this is two strikes now. Because he got his, if you were talking about numbers, they said he was number two. Then in spring practice, he ended up at 44. So they took his number away from him for a while for some reason. And now he's going to miss the first couple of days. The two strikes on Legend Bay is far more concerning to me than anything with Isaiah West and Bo Jackson, because I think they're both going to get a lot of carries. They're going to split time. And I think you're in good hands with both of those.
It's a good point on Isaiah West. You know, you think about, if you go back last year to the start of the year,
we talked about James Peoples.
We talked about those guys.
Right.
James Peoples is at Penn State.
No.
So, like, Bo kind of forced himself into the situation and forced his way onto the field. But you've got an injury. You have Isaiah West back healthy. You need, I think one of the reasons Arthur Smith is here, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to him about it after practice, I think one of the reasons he is here is to instill a toughness.
Mm-hmm.
How many times last year did we talk about short red zone? First and goal from the four, third and goal from the five, second and goal from the three. That short red zone, they just struggled mightily with. So that's a running back conversation. That's an offensive line conversation. At times, it can be a quarterback conversation if you want to, but I don't think you want to. If you don't have to put Julian in harm's way, you don't. So there are ways to handle that against most of the teams you play, and with this offensive line, the veterans returning, and those two backs hitting on all cylinders, well, now you're talking.
I think there was part of that last season when we saw the Lincoln Keenholz package. You know, I am wondering and very interested to see how the conversation between Ryan and Arthur went, where I do think that Coach Day wants to do some of what they did last year offensively, where they want to sit on the football, they want to dominate time of possession, they want to make sure that their team's fully healthy and good to go into the college football playoff. But I also wonder, Arthur Smith, I'm not trying to think about the college football playoff, I'm trying to win every single game by 30 points.
Yeah.
So the balancing act there, and I do think it's so important that they have all of that, the depth that they bring back, guys like Isaiah and Bo, so they can split those carries. I don't know if it'll be the same thing as Quinshon and Trey, because
there's
completely four different football players almost, but how you do kind of balance that, and I think you'll get a good at least glimpse of it early against Ball State, and then maybe it just becomes a one-back thing.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. We just haven't seen enough of Isaiah West to know. I know that Bo Jackson.
What I saw, I liked, though.
I did too, but we just haven't seen it. So we'll kind of see where all of that tracks.
Guys, real quick,
go ahead,
you're talking about the running backs. Can you see who's out there with the ones on the offensive line right now? Is it still Ian Moore at left tackle and Sarveld at right guard, or is Josh Padilla in there?
So they are right now just going through like some light calisthenics, stretching, okay, running, sprinting.
Getting limber.
So they ran like I would say less than five plays of perfect process. And in the field closest to us, the group closest to us, it was the twos versus the one defense.
Gotcha.
Two offense, one defense. So Julian was down at the far other end of the field with the one offense. So I couldn't tell who was there at the offensive line. I did get the sense, when we talked to Austin Saraval yesterday on air and then a little bit off, and even just listening to Ryan and some of the conversations, like they're just best five.
Yeah.
Right. So they're pretty malleable with how they could move some things around if they need to. They have some guys who are kind of dual trained a little bit. So it was just, let's find our best five. And so my guess is, as we get into this today, Bake will be able to see if they roll with that same five they did yesterday, or if there will be a little bit of a movement in that. One thing that the Browns are doing is they're going, you know, at left tackle, Spencer Fano one day, and then, Dwan the next.
Okay.
So they're kind of rotating those guys. So I don't. Maybe we'll see a rotation at tackle today.
And then tomorrow they might make it a completely different thing.
Sure.
Just to see what they have, just to see who they have, just to see how this person works in this.
And this guy's, Becky, also
we're throwing stuff at the wall.
This is totally install.
For sure.
Like, there's no pads. There's no, you know, you're just kind of going through the motions a little bit, kind of getting through some things. So Ryan's giving his pregame, his pre-practice chat right now, too. And quite honestly, you could hear a pin drop. I'm actually a little
self-conscious. We have to shut the hell up.
At how loud we're talking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be.
The background noise all went away.
It all went away. The music dropped, and everyone, now there is a tone.
This was a bad time to say you watched the Hall of Fame game last night, but a good time to talk about it, I guess.
Sounds like Scheffler's putting on 18 right now to win the Masters.
A little bit like that. Yeah, I think we're okay, but, you know, you got to be respectful a little bit. I tell you what, the boss man is sitting right here to our right. Ross Bjork's going to join us coming up on the program. Day two of Buckeye Camp is underway. Coach Day addressing the team before they get started. Did a little warm-up, did some perfect process in terms of just making sure those snaps are perfect, and we're about ready to get off and running. Ross Bjork going to join us in 2 minutes from right now. He's stepping in. Bishop and Friends right here.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Slope and Juice.
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
Well, here is what is up on day two. Wow, jeez.
Hey, we could get him on here, too.
Mr. Diebler here.
We have a headset.
Do you know his...
Hey, Coach, this is an oblong ball. This is not a round ball. Yeah.
His wife was an intern for me.
Oh, really? Okay.
And his brother,
George?
John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
His wife was an intern
okay.
for me. So I supplied the Dieblers
family,
with wives.
That's cool.
It worked out well.
Go.
Yeah, very, very good. Mr. Bjork is here.
All right.
Hey, buddy. 3 years ago, you were first on the job.
2 years ago.
This is our third.
It's my third season. But
two years ago, this is our third time doing this.
Two calendar years, yep.
Good job to you.
Yep.
2 years ago, this is our third training camp doing this.
Yep.
You were here. First time I'd met you.
Yep.
And the first thing I asked you was the responsibility of the job. How do you make sure in this climate that this thing that means so much to so many people is still touchable by all of them while also maximizing the financial might that it can be?
What did I say?
How have you done?
What did I say? Balance? I probably used the word balance.
It's a great answer. It's a great answer. I thought you crushed it.
Okay.
And now we're a couple years in. How's it going?
Yeah, you know, I was actually telling the group earlier today that I think I have a different job even 2 years removed from when I first started. Because things are moving so fast. I mean, you saw me on the phone over here.
Yeah.
I was literally talking about the federal legislation. Now, we were kind of talking about federal legislation 2 years ago. So, look, I do believe that what I've learned in the first 6 months that I was here was this is a statewide public trust. Mm-hmm. Every person in every county, they own a piece of the Buckeyes. I was with a guy yesterday, did not go to Ohio State, grew up in Mansfield. I said, hey, did you grow up a Buckeye fan? He's like, are you serious? Of course I did.
What question's that?
Like, so that responsibility of making sure that we're among the masses, that we do all things for all people, has to be there. But then at the same time, there are willing and able people that will pay whatever we ask them to pay, that will be involved at a high level. So you got to maximize that piece of it. But you also have to feed the everyday Buckeye fan who believes that they own a piece of it, because they do.
They do.
So we treat that with great responsibility.
Yeah,
so I don't know how we've done. That's for other people to judge, but we're going to keep pushing, trying, growing, and we got to just continue to get after it, because good is not good enough anymore. You have to be great in this environment, and that's what we have to push.
I think you've done a hell of a job.
I appreciate it.
I really do. And we talk about it all the time, and I think that you have the toughest job, one of the toughest jobs that anybody can have in athletics. You have this massive behemoth. You're a tent pole for the Big Ten. We're dealing with chaos everywhere. You mentioned the legislation. Let's talk about that. Yeah. We talk about it all the time. From the Big Ten's perspective, from your perspective, how satisfied are you, provided anything comes of this?
Yeah, the biggest thing in all of this is we need clarity, and we need bigger caps, so we got that. We need more clarity on NIL, third party. We got a little bit of that. Is it ever going to be perfect? Probably not, because you are compromising. You know, I think the original approach in all of this was, let's have a skinny bill. Let's have antitrust protection. Let's get rid of all state laws. Let's have some transfer legislation. Let's codify that you can only play 5 years and leave it at that. But when you're compromising and you're negotiating with both sides, it does become partisan. And so on the Democratic side, they wanted more things in there. They wanted things like, coaches can only move during this period.
Yeah.
And you cannot go coach another team if your team is still playing. That should have never been in there, but it is now, right? And so I think we got it to a place that we think it's better. So here's the question. Are you better off in the current state, or are you better off with this bill?
Yeah.
And we are better off with this bill. And I do think in the next 2 or 3 years, you're probably going to see another market adjustment.
Yeah.
And we might be back in Congress going, hey, we need to tweak this, or can we do this? But now you're actually going back to Congress, not some NCAA committee or not some Big Ten committee. So it does complicate it, but I think it puts us in a better spot.
You hit on something that to me is I find difficult.
I need to check my phone, because something may have changed. Like, my answer may change.
Could
change.
A couple hours left to go.
But you mentioned, so this is the problem that I think, this is why I think this is, there's a million reasons this is so complicated. But you hit on something that really I think resonates with an audience, certainly resonates with me. And that is the notion of, they're talking about, well, a coach can't leave. Well, that's a calendar problem.
Right, exactly.
What do you want Lane Kiffin to do? They call it the Kiffin rule. What do you want him to do?
Right.
The job comes open. He's in season.
Right.
He's got to sign a class. He's got to do a portal class. He's got a recruiting signing day in the middle of December. Yep. He's trying to prepare a team in a playoff. It doesn't make any dang sense.
Right.
So to me, fix that, and then that other problem goes away.
No question. What was Brian Hartline supposed to do last year?
What's he supposed to do?
Hey, I get a call. He has an interview. They want to hire him on the spot. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're playing on Saturday in a Big Ten championship game. Hey, don't take that job. Well, you can't do that to him.
No, can't
right?
tell him no.
So on Wednesday, it is. It's chaotic, right? It had an impact. Whether we, you know, we tried to manage it. Coach Day did a great job, but it has an impact. So you're exactly right. That's why we in the Big Ten, we push for the portal to be in April.
Yes.
Hey, get through the academic year. Let's get some semblance of academics structure back on the table. But, you know, the SEC wanted it a certain way. We kind of lost that argument. But I do think, because of this bill, I think you'll see that conversation come back up where it makes sense to do this portal for football. We're just talking football. Probably in April. And guys can still get here in June, and, like, all that stuff can still work.
And it's good that you're still having that conversation. I think it wasn't nothing that it got put to a vote to make it to the Senate for the first time in us having these conversations. Ohio State's Ross Bjork, kind enough to give us some of his time. We're at day two of Ohio State's fall camp.
How about this? This is kind of cool to be inside.
I was about to say, everybody who got a ticket thinking they're getting outside, and it's a little bit far, but now you're in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. You're hearing the whistles.
Yeah.
I had always maintained that the prettiest sound in sport was a baseball hitting a bat.
Yeah.
But I heard a ball come off one of the punter's legs, and I was that's gorgeous.
Cool.
I likened this to an electric bill. Like, in the summertime, you're running your AC. It's going to cost a lot of money. So you kind of know what's coming in August when you want to do your AC in Ohio. $500 million for an Ohio State athletic department when you want to run 36 sports at the highest possible echelon. When you saw that number, how did that hit you?
Yeah, well, I'm the one who put that number out there, right?
$500 million. Yeah.
So,
but when you see it firsthand that spreadsheet or whatever.
Yeah, you know, when I first got here, I said $300 million. And then, you know, we got past that during the, you know, championship run. But as I look at the landscape, as I look at, you know, how do we drive revenue, as I look at sponsorship, as I look, we're willing to be aggressive here. We want to be smart but aggressive. You know, that number is actually not that far off when you think about it.
Yeah.
I got a text from the Texas AD with like these big eyeball emojis because they think, you know, they're on par with us. And he was like, $500 million. I'm like, I guess we'll see who gets there first.
Yeah.
Maybe they get there first. Maybe we do. But, you know, I think you have to put markers out there. Mm-hmm. You have to think big. You have to tell people kind of where this is going a little bit. You have to understand history, but I think you also have to have some vision. And I just think that 36 sports, we do concerts, we do entertainment, right? We're going to continue to push the envelope. We got to get facilities off the ground. You know, one of the things that I tell people is that when we open the doors at Ohio, it's pretty easy, right? We're going to fill the shoe. We're going to sell out tickets. We're going to sell the most merchandise. We're going to have the most sponsorship. We had our best fundraising year the last 2 years. But it's that incremental. It's that next level of when I go to an airport, I see 100 people wearing Buckeye gear at just my gate. But I guarantee 90% of those people are not Buckeye Club members.
Right, right.
So how do we, you know, show people there's a pathway to invest? That will get us to the $500 million. That will get us to the next level. Because like I said, good is not going to get you. You have to be great in this era. And even at Ohio State, we cannot just be complacent. There's no way we can because other people are continuing to grow.
Well, to that end, saw a video 2 days ago of Notre Dame, their new facilities, USC in their facilities. I saw firsthand Florida State and what they had done in their facilities, which quite honestly blew me away because their financial situation ain't yours. With that in mind. Where are we with all that needs to happen around here to make sure that we stay at that level? And how important is it, I guess, Ross, to stay at that level?
It is. So when you look at facilities, there's sort of deferred maintenance. Like if things – like we just replaced the roof on the Schottenstein Center. It was the original roof, right? Yeah. Almost 30 years.
Wow.
You got to do those things. And then you got to do things for player development, player enhancement. And then you got to do things to drive revenue.
Yeah.
For this building in particular, we have a lot of good bones here. So we want to renovate – all the things that are on the north side of this building, all the team breakout rooms, the equipment room, the locker room, the training room, the team meeting room, all of that can be renovated on that side. And then on the east side of the building, we need to do offices. The coaches' offices need to have new space. Right now, if Larry Johnson wants to watch film with Kenyatta Jackson, but Q, you know, wants to have an individual, like somebody's got to leave the room
because
they're in the same room. And then we would have a new weight room on the, what would that be, the southeast corner of the building. We have about $40 million raised. We need to get to $125 million. And so now we're in our aggressive mode. We have a lot of proposals out in front of people. If all of those things come together, we can get an architect on board. We can really map out a timeline. I would like to start construction sometime in the calendar year of 28. That does sound like a long ways away, but it's really not when you think about these projects. And then it's probably a 12 to 16 month construction process, and then you're up and running. But we got to go. The thing is, we got to go.
Yeah.
We got people in line. We got people in the pipeline. Now we got to go.
And you
got
to do it down there, too, at the shoe. Because
that's going to be constant. Right.
It's a 100-and-some-year-old building.
It's always under construction. There's always going to be something in there. And then the St. John Arena corridor, ice hockey. We want to get our academic building in one building. Right now we're in two separate buildings. We need, you know, the golf community here is a big deal. Our OSU golf course is a valuable asset. We actually generate a profit there. But the clubhouse has to be redone, right? How can we tell the story of history out there with Jack and the history and the pro shop is separate from the rest?
Mm-hmm.
There's so much upside there. So we want to look at that project, and then there's always going to be something else. So
to me, that feels like a never-ending honey-do list.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you micromanage one thing to the next?
Yeah, just keep pushing, stay organized, stay informed. You know, look, you know, you get credit for a lot of things that you probably may not be involved in, and you get blamed for things that you may not be. I get it. You know, like the Heritage Stripe.
Yeah.
That was you. All of you.
That wasn't, like, that's Kevin Reese. That's our design people. That's our football program. But then it's like, oh, you're the greatest AD in the world. And then, like, hey, I don't like that song. You know, you're an idiot. Why did you play that song,
you
know, in the stadium?
So that's
like,
on YouTube.
Right. So you got to take it all. I totally get it. The good thing about the Buckeyes is people care.
Yeah.
And so we got to manifest that. We got to capitalize on that. That's what we're going to continue to do. So it's all good.
We'll leave on a high note because I got here in 07 and they took the gray off the sleeves.
Okay.
And from that moment on, I have banged a drum to put it
to bring it back
on.
Okay.
It took 20 seasons.
Okay. All right.
But here we are.
Go.
But look,
you can, so thank you. Yeah, you can thank Kevin Reese, our best equipment guy in the country. You can thank Kevin Reese and Nike for putting all those
beautiful,
things together.
They're gorgeous.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I even noticed a little thing, like they went, like the block O on the yoke.
Right.
Like those
That's
little
right.
touches.
That's
like,
right. yep. yep.
It's just really, yep. It's yeah. a massive brand, but it's
amazing.
It's a nuanced one, too.
You see Laurinaitis out there coaching the linebackers, and obviously he was, you know, in that era, so wearing that
stripe. He's banging the table on the radio with Bo.
James, one of my best friends, did the show together with him a long time. These two are like, Uncle James can really still run.
Okay. Look at him
I'm like,
there.
Yeah, he can
He's
really go.
Out there. Look at him.
Go.
Look at him.
Go a little bit.
Yeah.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Those sophomores look pretty good, too.
They do.
Ross, thank you so much, man.
Hey, thanks,
Appreciate
guys.
You.
Yeah, thanks for having
Appreciate
me on, as always. Yeah, good to see you. All right. Good luck with the workouts.
Okay. You don't need any luck.
Yeah.
He's in great shape. Looking great, man. Mr. Bjork joining us here, Ohio State Athletic Director. Day two of Buckeye Camp is underway. We will get you updated on sports last night. I might bring Jake over here, too, see if he can have a little fun with Mr. Diebler here in a second. Bishman Friends right here.
And have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Bo could quit today and become the school drop offline coordinator. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Back at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for day two of Ohio State's fall camp. Pleased to be joined by the men's basketball coach here at Ohio State, Jake Diebler. Jake, thanks so much for giving us some of your time this morning. How was Puerto Rico?
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Pretty nice trip.
Great for us to be able to play some other competition, play against some pros, which was really good. Spread the minutes around the team, and we had a few guys who had never been in the ocean before, so we got to experience a lot of different stuff down there. Food was great, people were awesome. Got to spend some time with Carlos Arroyo, for those who know basketball, big time name. And yeah, all in all, great trip. You can't tell I was outside too much. I mean,
you got some sun.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Get some guys in the ocean. Get everybody acclimated. Obviously, the summer is so critical for you guys, getting guys in, getting the work in. Coaches are never satisfied, but now that you're kind of done with that portion, probably culminated in Puerto Rico, how did you come out of it?
Well, I think there were a couple of things specifically we were looking for with this trip. We wanted to make sure the stuff we had been spending time on translated in these couple games. And that happened from a pace offensively. You know, defensively, we're picking up full court more and pressuring more and trying to be more disruptive. So those two things were evident for two full games. That was good. Now, we got a lot to work on.
Sure.
Right? But building chemistry, laying a foundation both offensively and defensively from a system standpoint, and then the stuff that's new, I wanted to see it live in person and feel it, and we did. So we got a good idea of how we're going to build out the rest offensively and defensively moving forward when our guys get back, and I like where we're at right now.
You mentioned pace. You mentioned pressure. Your non-negotiables, faster, harder. Is that fair to say with this group?
Well, I think if you've watched us, right, we're always going to play tough. We're going to play really hard. We haven't played, I think, in these last couple of years as fast as I personally would like, but that didn't necessarily fit these last two teams as well as I'd like. This was a chance for us to change some of that because we're bringing in a lot of new guys and bringing in some high-level guys in the portal, high-level young players that all kind of fit this. So I'm excited about it. Yeah.
How do you get obviously Anthony's one of the highest rated recruits we've ever had around here. It's been a minute since we had a true five-star like that. When getting him acclimated, the expectations obviously going to be through the roof when you talk about those guys or those high-level guys. How do you balance bringing him along at a pace that makes sense for an 18-year-old?
17 still.
Jeez. How do you balance
How about that?
Getting a kid up to pace who is a 17-year-old, which is absurd, while also the responsibility that comes, because it's not, but in a sense, he is a pro now. I mean, that's kind of the world we're in right now. I'm not asking you to use those words, but I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Like, this is the way that the business is done right now. How do you balance that with a 17-year-old? My God, that's young.
Yeah, well, I'd say one thing, Anthony makes it easier to balance because he's a great kid. He's really mature for his age. He's got a great work ethic, and he's been coached.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff gives us a really great starting point when he steps foot on campus. And his coachability, and whether it's being coached hard or being taught, he absorbs it and can go out and adjust quickly. So the big thing for me is when he stepped foot on campus, it's, hey, this team needs you to be aggressive.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect. There's going to be some ups and downs, but you got to stay aggressive. And he's done that all summer, and that's been really good. We've seen his shooting carry over. His length has been impactful defensively, getting deflections and blocks. And I'm going to be honest, he had a couple passes in Puerto Rico that kind of even surprised me a little bit. So his game is getting better, what feels like by the minute.
Yeah.
He's gotten stronger. He's put on weight. He and Coach Richardson have spent a lot of time together this summer. So it's been good. I'm excited about Anthony, but I also love that our team, he doesn't have to come in and do it all.
No.
We got really good pieces. They fit well. We got experience. I think this is the perfect fit for him personally. It's also the perfect fit he for us with who else we have.
Talk about bringing in some new faces that have played a lot of basketball before. I think it's fair to say you're still trying to build kind of a culture here, but they're coming in, I'm thinking of Pippen and Williams, and how do you mesh that together with the culture that you're trying to build, bringing them into the Ohio State culture with some of those new guys who are still just, like they're 17, 18 years old?
Well, it helps having, John Mobley Jr. and Amari Bynum to basically reinforce what we're doing every day. Right, because those guys understand what we're about from a work capacity and effort and toughness standpoint, and they help set the tone with that. And then, we coach these guys hard and hold them accountable to that, and they want to be great players, so they're being coachable. But this is the first transfer, high major transfer we've been able to bring in who's produced at the high major level in a big way.
Yeah.
Justin produced points, rebounds, assists in the ACC on a bubble team last year.
Right.
So that's good for us. And then Jimmy Williams was really productive, as a player in the A-10, which is a really good multi-bid league from Ohio, which you guys know I love that part. and keep going down the line, a transfer, Brian Curtis Givens, productive player at Memphis. Andre Yelovich, really talented. You look at the back half of his season at Kentucky, productive player. So that was important to us, to make sure that we were getting more production in Portland. Listen, the reality is we were in a better space from an NIL standpoint to go do that this year than we were last year, and it's been good so far.
How's it going as you self-scout how you've done? What have you learned in these couple of years, thrown into the deep end right away, figured out how to swim, and away we go? What have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about your family, your work-life balance, all of that? How's all of that going for you?
Well, I think that first spring when I was named head coach, and you're trying to put a roster together, you're trying to put a staff together, and all of that going on at the same time, I'd be the first to admit, I don't think I got everything right, And okay, so... Yeah. The one thing I've gotten better on is leaning on my staff. I think I have an unbelievable staff that collaborates and works really well together. We don't work in silos, in our program. We work together on everything. So that's an area that I needed to improve in from year one to year two, and I felt like I did that, and we're doing it even better year two to year three. Putting a roster together as the landscape is ever-changing, making sure that we're staying at the forefront within what we can operate within, and so that's gotten better, and we've adjusted how we've approached the portal, year to year. And then listen, I think studying film and doing all that is one thing, but going through the best league in the conference now for 2 years and getting the experience that comes with, end of game and preparation and all that, I'd be the first to tell you I'm not stopping getting myself better for this program too, year after year. So those are just some of the areas. As far as work-life balance goes, I ain't figured that part out yet. I gotta continue. My wife she's first off a Buckeye.
That's right.
And so she wants to make sure that I'm doing everything I need to do to help this program, and then be a good husband when I can, and a good father when I can. So I'm so thankful and blessed that she understands what this job requires to get this program back to where we're trying to get it to, and try to be a dad and a husband when I can, and including tonight. I got to take her to dinner. It's our anniversary, so
big
dinner tonight.
Yeah,
thank you.
Both you and your brother, both married former interns for us. And your
how about that?
Jordan was an intern for me and Dom at Channel 10, and and of course John as well. Get you out of here on this one. 3-point shooting contest, John versus your brother. Mobley versus your brother.
So you're excluding me from that then?
Someone's got to administer.
Okay, fair enough. Because they're probably battling for second anyway.
Second, you still got him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course he's still got him.
No, listen, John, both Johns are some of the absolute best shooters I've ever been around.
I'm going to hold you to one. I need a John.
You gave him an out because they got the same first name.
You could have just said,
John, I love John.
I'm going to say this. From a catch-and-shoot standpoint, I think John Diebler's probably, there was a stretch where he might have been the best in the world or one of the best in the world.
I agree. Yeah.
Where John Mobley, I think, gets an edge with shooting is his ability to shoot off the bounce is lethal. And then you consider the size difference between the two. Mm-hmm. So, today, since my brother's getting a little older,
that's right.
I'm going with John Mobley Jr.
All right, very good. That was good.
And I got to coach him in a couple weeks. So.
That's right. I'm going to send that audio to your brother.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
We'll get his rebuttal on that.
So that's great. I look forward to that that conversation.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
No, I appreciate you guys. Yep.
Thanks. Thank you. Good luck.
Coach Diebler joining us here. Day two of Buckeye Camp underway. When we come back, 20 most interesting programs is the Buckeyes. We'll continue to paint the pictures here at practice as well. Bishop and Friends right here.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studio. Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Day two of fall camp for the football Buckeyes. Ohio State's 29 days out from opening the season Saturday, September 5th, hosting Ball State. Buckeyes did not have freshman Legend Bay at practice yesterday, and today he's suspended for a violation of team rules. Ryan Day says Bay will be back on the field soon. The fans going to be out at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for day three of fall camp on Saturday. In the NFL last night, the Panthers beat the Cardinals 33-30 in the Hall of Fame game. Bengals will have their first preseason game next Thursday, hosting the Lions. Browns are in Chicago next Saturday against the Bears. In baseball Thursday, Mets swept the Guardians with a 13-6 win in Cleveland. Guardians are three back of the White Sox in the Central. They're in Chicago for a weekend with the White Sox at 7:40. And the Reds broke out the brooms on the Athletics yesterday 6-5. This update is sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Request your free roof or exterior assessment today at RamosRoofingOhio.com. Ramos Roofing, reliable, local, built right. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
They'll offer betting advice, but don't bet on it being good. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Second hour here, day two of Buckeye Camp underway out at Ohio State. And we finish, there's an asterisk because we have to make up Oregon next week. We finish 20 most interesting right here with the Buckeyes. Hit it.
We'll expand conferences. We'll expand the playoffs, but we'll never, ever expand our interests. Bishop and Friends present the 20 most interesting programs.
And today we finish right here in Old Columbus Town with the Buckeyes. Eight returning starters on offense, led by Heisman finalist Julian Sain and the best player in the sport, Jeremiah Smith, Bo Jackson as well. Four on the defensive side of the ball, Kenyatta Jackson in that number two will anchor that. Edric Houston remains, Jermaine Matthews, Jalen McClain as well. Key transfers, lots of them. This is the biggest changeover of roster that we've seen at Ohio State with all of the new faces. Haven't previously had to do that. Of course, last year went 12-2, lost to Miami and Indiana to close the season after starting perfect. 24/7 recruiting class ranking was fifth in the country. That's pretty good. Transfer class rating was seventh in the country. That's really good. That combines for third overall. Ryan Day is in his eighth season. He is a robust 82-12. Tim May joining us.
That's pretty good.
20 most interesting at Ohio State as we are watching practice day two. This is awesome. We are watching the first team defense go up against the second and third, kind of a mix offense.
Yeah.
You see threes. You see all the guys getting in the work. This is kind of everything that you hope for. If you were interested in football, you're getting it right now.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're interested in watching practice, which I always have been, you know, back in the day when I first started covering this thing in 1984, I went to every practice except Earl Bruce would close it two times a year, one for one big game and then one for the Michigan game. And his big line was, nobody ever wants to come to practice till I close it. And he was exactly right. But I've always enjoyed watching practice because you see things bubbling up, just like Turbo Rogers just got a little swing pass a minute ago. A guy who was highly touted coming in a year ago.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the way this roster is, Bo, is that people bubble up. I mean, 51 new names, right? But there could be, you know, five or 15 who have already been on the roster are now going to bubble up and maybe play a role on this team. This is a big-time college football program, maybe the deepest in the country.
I think you hit on it there.
I didn't want to be too obtuse.
You weren't. Reese and I were talking about it. We just had Ross on, and they are probably, and Paul even acknowledges this when I have him on every Thursday, they are the model of this era.
Oh, yeah.
Of finding a way to meld history and tradition and nostalgia and be touchable for the common fan while also having a maximum financial impact.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a really tricky needle to thread, but they've threaded it better than anybody.
Never mistake the program that Woody Hayes ran with the one that's being run now. That doesn't mean Woody Hayes wouldn't have been able to do this. I think he probably could have. Bear Bryant, I mean, you know, you've heard me say a million times, that's why the NCAA rule book went from that thick to that thick, is those guys hit the road recruiting right on down the line. But this is a new era. The new coaches. How about Kurt Cignetti? What, 64, 65 years old? He was sitting down there in the FCS forever. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he got his shot. But he showed up at Indiana with a plan, a modern plan of how to attack major college football. We have seen Ryan Day write that from almost a blank sheet of paper in 2018 and 19 when he took over as head coach in 2019 to where it is now, you know, the COVID situation, everything else. But the way this guy not only has rolled with the punches and the changes, but the way he's gotten his program to do it is remarkable. And then you bring in a guy... not a guy like Ross Bjork. You bring in Ross Bjork.
Yeah.
And his modern approach to everything, understanding you've got to be way out there in your thinking, planning down the road. I mean, you know, he was talking about plans back in June with us in the media for a little while. But then in one of the shows this morning I was listening to driving in on 97.1, The Fan was talking about, you know, the where they got to get to with the ice hockey, you know, from a possible
golf
arena
clubhouse
standpoint. Of course, you can't do anything until you got the money in hand.
That's right.
At Ohio State. But the point is, you got to be looking forward because eventually, you know, St. John Arena probably eventually is going to have to go.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. And same thing with French Fieldhouse. I mean, that's a huge lot we're talking about right there that could be in a progressive kind of way be remodeled into, like, throwing a couple of these projects we're talking about in right there in the as close as you can get to the center of campus. So, what a time to be around Ohio State athletics, but especially Ohio State football.
Yeah, it wasn't lost on me that Ross, when we asked him about that $500 million athletic department, what they want to do in a couple of years, where he said he got a text from Chris Del Conte, who's Texas's athletic director, with just eyes wide emoji.
Yeah.
I mean, Texas and Ohio State, probably the two most applicable programs from a everything standpoint. Success, money, boosters, major metropolitan area that has that university. But for this, I thought, Tim, it was a testament to their commitment to the 36 varsity sports at the highest level.
Yeah.
That he said $500 million. Because even where's that nonsense about the $20 million roster? I said, good. Tell everybody. Tell your friends. If you're Ohio State, you got a $30 million roster, $40 million roster, $50, $60, whatever it is now, tell everybody.
Well,
a serious operation.
The problem with that, like a year and a half ago, was that Ohio State just opened its big mouth. A lot of people were spending a lot of money on college football a couple of years ago on their roster, et cetera. And the funny thing about it is, I've been to Texas. You've been to Texas.
Yep.
I've been to Texas several times. It's not the same kind of, like, you know, they call it the North 40.
Yeah.
But after you get past the North 40, there's, like, buildings and everything jammed all around you.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was down there in 2005 before Ohio State played Texas for the first time ever. I was down there to do some advanced stuff. Obviously, Texas came here with Vince Young, et cetera. But they had to get on a bus to go to practice. They had a little practice a dome that they went to, blow-up dome. But they were in the throes of still remodeling that southern part of their stadium where, you know, Mac Brown's office was, head coach's office was, and everything. It's, you know, the great thing about this place is, like I said, there are some places where they could tear down some things and build some better versions of those things, and there are open lots around it. It's just an interesting – it has room to grow, I guess is my point. It's kind of like a big estate, and they haven't really – Like y'all's ranch out in Montana, y'all haven't really built a barn out on the north end, you know?
Don't need to. You know, they're going to need to. The difference, though, and this is the thing that's going to be interesting, and this is more of an athletic conversation, a football conversation, but
Texas has 18 sports.
Wait, it looks like they're taking a hydration break. Yeah, I'm just joking.
Just go like ahead. The World Cup.
Texas has 18 sports. These guys are trying to do 36.
Yes.
I told Gene this 15 years ago to his face. I said, this is bad business to do this.
This is apples and oranges when it comes to an athletic department.
It's not close. Like, I've said this forever. Like, they want to be Stanford in all the non-revenue sports, and then they want to beat Alabama in football.
Yeah.
And there's nobody else who has the audacity to try that, Tim.
No, I mean, you know, several Big Ten programs have big time sports over 20 and stuff, but to equate what Ohio State does with its dollars compared to like Georgia, Alabama, Texas, who don't have half the sports or right at half the sports is not fair, I don't think, in a lot of terms. And that's why, you know, when we're seeing this possible legislation come out of the Senate, I'm still holding my breath. I think you are too. I'm
don't
not
hold
sure it's
too long,
happen.
Brother.
Yeah, I feel like one of those deep divers. You know, it's got a weight tied to him going down. But but the bottom line is the college athletic programs, departments are not the same. From even in the Big Ten, from one to the other, much less across the nation, and now you're going to have to try to figure out a way to equate them. I mean, in some form or fashion, how much money you can spend. I mean, you know, it's too bad, but you know, these programs got themselves into this fix of having to have federal law come down. It's going to be funny in the difference between breaking an NCAA rule and breaking a federal law. You know, where you end up, you know, from a penalty standpoint.
They going to send you to Leavenworth.
What, was it Rikers Island or is that
Rikers at Leavenworth?
Yeah,
Sing Sing.
Leavenworth.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, or wherever Martha Stewart went.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of white collar, I think. No, but I guess that's why, like, and Reese and I talk about, in Bank, we talk about this all the time. Like, I'm not holding my breath for any of this stuff. And even as we were talking to Ross about it today, when you're thinking about the future of it, don't worry, kids, we're going to get to football on this team and the nuts and bolts of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well. But, it is a. Who's policing it?
Yeah.
Who's investigating it? People don't realize, if you're of a certain age out there, you don't realize that the NCAA never had an investigative arm. They had journalists. Journalists found stories, they found wrongdoing, and then the NCAA...
Did you see this in the Morning Journal?
Yes. And then the NCAA would go investigate your reporting.
Right.
They weren't looking for it.
Now, that always bothered me.
I agree.
Being a journalist is that I'm not employed, but, you know, we weren't employed by the NCAA to go find out, you know. I mean,
no.
Yet they would take advantage of it. I mean, you're exactly right. But here's the thing. The thing about the NCAA is the NCAA, we've said it a million times, it is Ohio State, Southern California, Alabama.
Yes.
I mean, they're supposed to be the local sheriff.
That's right.
And the problem is the local sheriff has taken a hiatus, you know, in the last 15 years especially. And that's why you have, because they're supposed to be trusting each other. And That's what's too unfortunate about it. But then you see, what was the NCAA just came down with the other day? Some really unbelievable ruling on just penny ante, whatever it was.
Well, they got the kid from Tennessee
for $400 on a plane ticket.
Yes.
Yep. The kid's making $2.5 million
a year. Yeah.
And you're worried about...
I mean, what are you doing, NCAA? You know, somebody sent that in to them, probably, and they said, let's go do that.
Self-reporting, let's get them.
We're going to look like we're doing something.
That's not even
Remind everybody you exist.
It's not even Capone for tax evasion.
Yeah.
It's like Capone for jaywalking.
That was when they put it in the clearinghouse for the academics and stuff.
Yeah.
They were going to have to find early. They're going to have to find several guys to justify their existence.
That's right.
You know, I mean, remember those four guys for Ohio State way back when, the late 80s, who got nailed. I mean, but, I mean, there is time for a new day, but there's always going to be somebody in charge, and there's always going to be rules. And I think down in the Southeastern Conference, they've kind of forgot about that aspect of it.
Well,
they're ignoring it.
And that's why they're bitter, because they were all doing this stuff under the table. Now it's above board.
Well, we think they were.
And they're not caught up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I was down there. You were down there. I think you probably were.
Wyatt Earp, he would have cleared it up.
He would have cleared it up in a second. Get those Cowboys out of town and Johnny Ringo, too. We'll hit the Buckeye categories coming up next and get into the very specific issues this team may have as we continue. Day two of Buckeye practice we're in the middle of it now, kids. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Morning Juice is now on YouTube. Weekday morning starting at 6.
If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack. Attack and dominate.
If you're a fan of Jeff Goodoff,
drive directly to a hospital.
Seriously.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Happy Friday. Highs today right around the mid-80s. Feeling a little bit warmer, though, with the combination of all that humidity out there. It's a little muggy as you step out the door. Friday afternoon into the evening hours, isolated showers and storms return back into our forecast. And that's going to get you through the rest of your Friday. I'm your 10 Weather Impact meteorologist, Lily Aldrich, with 97.1 The Fan.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. We'll read your emails on the air,
but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
And we are proudly and always sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. I was out at the Eastern location yesterday afternoon picking out a watch. We are picking up a watch, rather, from repair. We've got some 7-on-7 work happening here. Tim May is here. Reese is here. Bake back at the fort. Time to hit the categories on the Buckeyes. Go ahead, Bake. Oh, gosh. It's always good to close with this. It sets a tone. Sets a tone. All right, Tim, you got to follow the rules on this. You ready? We got categories you got to answer questions on.
We didn't brief him,
by
did
the way.
We?
He doesn't need to be briefed.
Okay.
Nothing beats ramp. That's what that
I'm ramp. Just glad he's not debriefed.
Fair. Fair pick.
It's Friday night.
College football 2026.
Wait a minute. Who says I'm not?
Well, see, now you're not following rules.
Yeah.
I don't want to know that.
I know, exactly. He brought it up.
He did.
Like my kids, he brought it up.
Baker's fault there.
College football 26 adaptability grade. So what we're grading them on is how have they adapted to modern college football. Bake, what say you?
Oh, I think it's an A+. They've hit the transfer portal, I believe, like they should. Used it a little more this year because they had more guys go out, but they've still kept a premium on high school recruiting and getting the right guys in here. I just think everything that Ohio State has done, and I think the national championship a couple year proves an A+.
Yeah, he's right. National championship, 4 players in this past NFL draft went in the top 11. They went to the transfer portal and filled those needs with guys that have played a ton of college football. There's nobody operating at this level.
They've got the players, and they've got the players with the dollar sign as the S.
Yep.
They've adapted extremely well. In my opinion, it's as good a job as anybody in the country. In my opinion, it's the best job in the country in terms of to the new way of doing things. A+.
Yeah, it's an A+. And honestly, guys, it's probably been an A+ for 50 years, 60 years. Like, they've always adapted to whatever the sport
maybe there's
demands.
Been a year where they kind of got hiccups.
Year or two.
The next year, they almost figured never. It out.
Uniform brand grade for the Buckeyes, Bake.
What's higher than A+? Because that's what this
S-tier.
Is.
S-tier. The kids tell me, say S-tier is higher.
Well, then S-tier it is.
Reese?
Yeah, they put the silver heritage stripes back on the jerseys. Even the partnership logo is a white circle.
Yeah.
That works.
I don't have any problem with the patches. I've covered auto racing for 45, 50 years, number one. Number two, it's one of the iconic uniforms. I've never understood why they mess with it from year to year, but go back and look at the early 60s when they had the big fat stripe on the helmet because they had the pad on it, you know?
Yep.
But this is one of the iconic uniforms in America and A+.
It is. It's an A. Now that they have the gray on the sleeves, it's an A+. They went 20 years without gray on the sleeves. Now it's back. Now it's an A+. And the brand, obviously, is
you know who they are when they take the field.
That's exactly right. Historical player you'd pick for this Ohio State team, Bakes. You can have any player in Ohio State history, and you can suit him up on this team. Who do you got, Bake?
So for this team, the first thing I thought was maybe a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. So I thought one of the Bosa brothers or Chase Young. And then I also thought maybe you need a linebacker. So I kind of thought AJ. I kind of thought James, maybe Spiels or Akuzino. But then I remembered they're still trying to figure out one spot on the offensive line. And maybe the greatest college football player of all time attended Ohio State. And we know of the pancake block because of him. So I can't not go Orlando Pace.
Oh, Pace at left tackle would be
good.
A hell of a cheat code.
Baker, that you said that because the O-line's about 50 yards from us. So
they heard
you can say that, right.
They're headed this way.
I'm going to go Caleb Downs. Because Orlando Pace, for me, it was obvious, was O-Pace. But I'll go Caleb Downs.
Caleb Downs is hard to beat, but Orlando Pace could play on any team, anywhere, anytime.
In any era.
Any era. So Orlando Pace, I agree with Bake.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of went
he
where
helped
Vank went.
Everything.
Yeah.
I thought about, boy, you give me Chase Young on this team, what he was here.
Yeah.
Give me Joey. Or, we never got to see Nick at the end.
You never got to see Orlando Pace play defensive tackle like
no,
I did. I mean, he could play.
Well, he's probably
the
answer.
He would block guys out of the way.
But it's funny. So I was going to go that way. But then I came back, and I was just thinking about the look of this defense. Probably defensive end would be the one that made the most sense.
Yeah.
But, like, if Caleb Downs were on the back end,
yeah,
he was just such an eraser.
Yes.
And so you could do Mike or Caleb or Mike Doss, something like that. But one of those guys would make a lot of, lots to choose from, obviously. Would Vince Howard, the fictional quarterback for Friday Night Lights, the television series, take an official visit here, grade Bake?
I don't think there's any doubt he would absolutely be here on campus.
He'd take the OV, they'd be in his top five graphic, he'd have a hat on the table.
Amen. I mean, and you could jump on an airplane from almost anywhere now.
Yep.
I think they might even be able to send a private plane for you if you're out in the sticks.
Well, West Texas. That's got to be Permian Basin.
That's the opposite of sticks. If you're out in the dust.
Out in the dust and oil.
Yeah, in the sand. But, hell yeah, he'd take a visit here. Where else would he go?
Well, I think he...
I mean, I was talking to... go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think Ohio State would be probably the one of two or three non-Texas schools that would be,
yeah,
to Reese's point, a hat on the table.
Yep.
Would they win it? I don't know, because you'd be bidding against the Texas money and all of that, and would you be willing to go that for that guy? It's hard to say, but I do think that they would be a very serious contender.
The great thing about Ohio State football now, it's on every weekend somewhere on some channel, and you can watch it. And number three, I talked to Peyton Pierce yesterday about that, about the fact that they're going to have at least probably three starters on their defense from Texas when they play at Texas.
Yep.
You know, and some guys on offense. We'll see how that works out.
Well, that was Urban. I mean, Urban went into Texas in the biggest way possible, and that led to that.
Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's a lot of football players.
Famous.
Yeah.
We'll leave that there.
Yeah, we'll leave that there.
Coach grade for Ryan Day, Vic.
So I'm giving this an A, and the only reason I'm not giving it an A-plus is I still have some questions about Ryan Day in game, but everything else Ryan Day has done has been an absolute home run here at Ohio State. I mean, you mentioned the record earlier, Bo, 82-12. Outside of that one Michigan game, he doesn't lose games when the talent isn't equal on the field. So I'm going to give Ryan Day an A.
I'm going to give an A+. The embrace, the willingful embrace of what is college athletics now. He's one of the first to do it.
2019, they got robbed.
Yeah.
To 2022 against Georgia, they got jobbed.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they won the national championship. He's been that close to, like, three national championships or having a shot at them. I think he's done a hell of a job, but A would be the job. Because, number one, you got to get rid of that wide screen, man. Oh, my gosh.
It's exhausting.
I've been waiting. Remember when Khalil Mack did that to Braxton Miller in the opener from Buffalo?
Do.
And all of a sudden, Buffalo's leading Ohio State in Ohio Stadium.
Yeah.
You're going, what
is going on?
What do you do? Throw the ball down the field to number four.
Yes.
If you've seen number four running around out here?
I have. He's right there.
He leaves a contrail.
Look at the size of that dude. By the way, 15 is an impressive
15,
specimen as well.
You've heard my line, right? 15, Chris Henry Jr. could be Jeremiah Smith's stunt double.
It's really remarkable how similar their build is.
Once upon a time in Ohio Stadium.
Yeah. I think it's an AA+. I think it's a 95 or better. I think the adaptability has been incredible. I think the way that he steered the ship. He's having to do more PR than any coach has ever had to do here.
Yep.
He's constantly talking. He's got to meet with boosters and us and constant. I mean, there's no days off. So the fact that this program has had no drop-off, and if anything, has only improved.
He's got to know numbers.
Job.
He and Pantone have to be
absolutely
on top of everything coming out of Washington. That's the thing about Ross Bjork said, is Ryan wants to be on top of all that.
He does. Yep. Sliding doors moment, Bake. What's the sliding doors moment for the program?
Man, there's so many here you could make an argument for, but I'm going to say it was the hiring of Urban Meyer because everything has changed. I understand Jim Tressel won a national championship, But I don't think it was Ohio State should be in the national championship talk every year until Urban Meyer got here. Now they're six of the last eight play, or they're trying for six of the last eight playoffs this year. It's just different. The narrative around this team is different since Urban Meyer stepped on campus.
Yeah, I've got that Sports Illustrated cover, how deep it went, like burned into the back of my mind. And I was going to say that with Tressel and then with Urban. But I'm going to go to the what I used with the Michigan Wolverines in 2023, that game where Kyle McCord misses Marvin Harrison Jr. with, what, 25 seconds left to go in the game, and that propels Michigan into the Big Ten championship game. I think they beat Iowa. Then they're on to win the national championship. What if it had been Ohio State to win that game?
Yeah, you sound like my buddy Jeff Snook. I mean, you know, Kyle got hit on that play.
He did. No, I'm not putting that on McCord.
Yeah, no, I'm just revisionist. I'm just messing with you. Hey, fellas, mid-90s, they put together as good a team as there was in the country under John Cooper. They had gone national recruiting-wise and stuff, and I think a lot of people like to forget that he did lay the groundwork for things. He just couldn't get that splotch of mustard off his scarlet tie.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, things really, they have been in the conversation with the exception of about 2 or 3 years since then from a national standpoint. So I would say that was a moment.
The hiring of John Cooper and the nationalization of the program in the 90s, and Coop doesn't get talked about enough. I tried to talk about it a lot. It doesn't get talked about enough that he started recruiting everywhere.
Yes.
It wasn't just put a rope around Ohio. It was,
and he got some of them.
And he got a lot of them. Yeah. Boston, obviously Joe Germain, and there's guys from – there's a laundry list of guys who have done that. I think the slide his doors moment is Urban, though, because I think if Urban Meyer isn't available
– that's the key.
If Urban Meyer is not available when that happens, my hunch is, I'm talking to folks and I'm curious, that it would have been Bo Pelini. And if I know that Gordon Gee liked Bo Pelini a lot.
Yeah.
This thing could have teetered the other way. Nobody is immune to it. Bama's not immune to it. Michigan's not immune to it. USC, the biggest programs. One miss on a coach and a thing can fall off a cliff.
I've never asked Urban whether, if he had still been the head coach at Florida, whether he would have taken this job. Everything just worked out. He went on that sabbatical, is what I called it, when he got burned out at Florida. He needed that.
Yep.
But he was available, and they didn't. After the loss at Purdue, they didn't hesitate. They went hell bent for him.
Yeah, that's to me, because if he's not available, that'd be great to get the answer to that, even from just your own, not publicly.
Yes.
But just if like you could get the real answer.
Just
I think
to
that's
know.
A fascinating. Fascinating real truth. Win it all, make the playoff too soon, or flame out for your Buckeyes, Spake?
Well, it's absolutely win it all. We just said that's the expectation around here.
Yep. You're summoning college football's mountaintop.
There's the number one in the coaches poll. A lot of people think they're pretty damn good. I mean, there's no – but, dude, anybody in a playoff, anybody can lose a game.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the playoff. So, I would think win it all has got to be – I know that's Ryan Day's mantra.
They have the number one team in the country. They have a Heisman finalist quarterback and the best player in the country. They reload. They don't rebuild. Yes. Go win it all. In terms of what could trip them up. We will get into this roster in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, 20 most interesting, your Ohio State Buckeyes. Tim May, been on this beat for a very, very long time, and is joining us here as we watch practice number 2 at Ohio State. Defensive players near us, offensive players on the far field. You see threes behind the defense, kind of keeping his eye on his unit here a little bit in a big, big way. Tim, if this team doesn't win the national championship, where are the potholes, if any, on the roster? The schedule, we'll get into that, but just... where are the holes that, if there is concern, where would there be?
You know, it's funny because I talked to Phil Steele. You know, he talks to every coach and stuff. And his concern about this team was replacing those two studs at linebacker, Sonny Styles and Arvell Reese. And I think they've got those guys. I think Peyton Pierce. You know, it's funny. Guys come along with these great names like Peyton Pierce, Riley Pettijohn. I mean, those sound like linebackers,
don't
they?
Two Texas kids.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
It's like, you know, you look at linebacker and it's a little bit unproven. Peyton Pierce played a lot last year. Riley Pettijohn did not. Obviously, he missed all the spring recovering from a little touch-up surgery. T.J. Alford's a guy they're looking at stepping up. Sincere Johnson, this freshman, looks really – possibilities are there and stuff. And, of course, Christian Allegro, as I call him, but Allegro.
Yeah.
The transfer from Wisconsin, who, by the way – our buddy Luke Fickell didn't want to talk a thing about at the Big Ten meetings.
Boy, that's Buckeye was, on Buckeye crime,
when it was,
too.
When it was like brought
James,
up to
James,
him.
James, yeah. Of course, one of... I mean, you could ask James, like, in terms of people as responsible as any for where he is, Luke Fickell would be on a short list.
Yeah.
And then to go get, take a linebacker from him.
But then you look at that group and you go, okay, I understand what Phil's talking about. He thinks they're really good players.
Yeah.
But you got to go out there and prove it every day. I mean, you think about Sonny Styles. Did he ever miss a snap?
I don't
know. A meaningful snap. Arvell got banged up a little bit. But the point is, those guys were just kind of like comic book hero kind of looking dudes. The way they played, Sonny Styles, the way he helped get guys lined up along with Caleb Downs. So I'm looking right there. I think safety, they're going to be damn good. I mean, Earl Little Jr. is an interesting dude to me. Terry Moore, the transfer from Duke. But Jalen McClain, I mean, he stepped right on up. You saw him bubble up last year as a bona fide big-time player. So right on down the line, I think wide receivers are going to be good. I think cornerback, they're going to be, I mean – really good in some respects. Devin Sanchez, we'll talk about him in a minute maybe, but that guy's ready to really – you just ask him, he's ready to rock and roll.
He is. Yeah.
So I'm just looking at defensively because I think offensively, wow. I mean, could be as good as there is in the country, maybe the best.
What impact do you think Arthur Smith will have on this Ryan Day offense? What will be the things that the average fan notices, if any?
I think you might see a little more – maybe a lot more play action. I think Arthur Smith, from what I can tell, is one of those guys that you've heard me talk about this many times, likes to see receivers catch the ball on the move as opposed to curl routes, you know, ad nauseum, things like that. He's very much into the running game, but a lot of people pigeonhole a guy based on what happened at places he's been before, like Tennessee and Atlanta and even Pittsburgh last year, and you're kind of like you're a slave to your personnel.
For sure.
And what they can do best. He understands he has a big-time thrower of the football in Julian Sayin. I think he wants to take advantage of that, but in all kinds of ways. And he wants to take advantage of number four, Jeremiah Smith, as in get him the damn ball.
Throw him the damn ball.
He's down somewhere.
But you can get him the damn ball, you know, and in different ways and stuff. And I think we've already seen little snippets of that. There is nothing more, I don't know, awe-inspiring than seeing Jeremiah Smith running a shallow drag route over the middle, catching the ball and turning it up. That's a scary sight. And you've seen him out here today. He looks even bigger than he did a year ago. So I think Arthur Smith is poised to take advantage of all of that. And he's a professional, been a former head coach in the NFL, but he's also been a coordinator, et cetera. He knows how to make changes on the fly. And I think that's going to show up in the big games, I think.
And I do think the schedule...
And there are a lot of big games on this schedule.
...helps itself out from where you had last year was tomato cans after week one. This season, the balance I'm interested in is Arthur Smith talking to Ryan Day about, yes, there is an extended college football playoff. You're going to play 3-4 games if you want to summit this thing again. But you've also got a regular season where maybe 2-3 games you're going to find yourself in a fourth quarter fight.
Oh, yeah.
So it can't...
Ryan addressed that.
It can't lend itself to, well, we're just going to control time of possession. We're going to sit on the football. We're going to try to take plays to where we're not doing a whole lot because we want to keep our guys healthy for the postseason. You've got to make it to the postseason.
Yeah.
So you got...
And the thing about this offense, I think it's capable of dictating things, meaning...
Yeah.
I think it is capable of going out and getting the lead.
You're saying that last season, though,
to begin
with. Kind of frustrating to fans.
That just changes everything when you get the lead to begin with, et cetera. But, I mean, they've got to come out second week of the season. Last year, we talked about this last year, they were so conservative in that opener against Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan kind of regretted a little bit of not letting Julian do a little bit more because you're always wondered when he's back there in the pocket, what is he actually seeing? You know what I mean? Or is he just going to look for number four in a pitch?
Yeah.
So now they feel very good about that. I would expect them to go in guns a-blazing. In Texas and see how it goes. I mean, there are several games this year they can't afford to be wallflowers. They've got to be out there throwing the ball.
No, and I think that, you know, this is going to be the key to this thing because there really aren't any holes. Like, the linebackers are going to be fine. Offensive line, you return maybe 8 starters offensively.
Yeah.
Entire offensive line with familiarity. You got good depth there. Big-time weapons. Chris Henry looks great. Like, anybody can get hurt, and so that's outside of that, there's nothing that keeps this team from going to the ultimate thing. I think one thing that's been interesting this summer, though, and even into the big post-draft analysis, and I don't do this,
But a little bit of disrespect for Julian Sand.
I think he's coming around.
I think finally. But I spent most of the summer looking at mock drafts, and he's not a first rounder, not one of the six best quarterbacks in college football. I'm going, well, hold on a second. This guy was going to set the NCAA record for completion percentage, still finished with 77%, was a Heisman finalist in his first year.
Yeah.
Like, what does he do for an encore?
Right. I mean, he hasn't gotten worse. Let me put it that way.
No.
Number two, they were running a drill down there, in the beginning of the practice where they had the quarterbacks taking the ball and, like, going through a – you remember the ball pad? They used to use padded ball pads. Now they have – now some equipment companies come up with the actual thing. Mm-hmm. You have to pay another 50% for.
Right.
But just batting at these guys, having them run, he is – we were talking to him in Chicago about this, too. I mean, he wants to show that he can do that, but he doesn't want to show he can do that just to show he can do that.
Yeah, right.
You know, the big deal is you want him to be trigger ready to when he sees nothing but green in front of him to go get those 8 yards. And that if he does that at Texas, if he scores a running touchdown at Texas, you know, the bandwagon's going to be filling up fast on the Julian Sayin to Heisman bus.
Do you?
I guess that'd be a bus, not a bandwagon.
We had Austin Serfold on yesterday about this, and he talked like they know the narrative that they got bullied by Indiana and Miami
in those
two defensive fronts.
It was kind of like a dam that had a weak spot.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's what better way of putting it.
Right guard, right side of the offensive line especially.
Yeah. That, we believe, has been fixed.
Yeah, we think. If Austin Serfold, when they went out there with their first offensive line yesterday, I told you I was going to be watching that. When you see Ian Moore, Luke Montgomery, Carson Hinsman, who I think may be the best center in the country, right guard Austin Serfield, and right tackle Phillip Daniels. You know, the guy that they've got their eye on right now is Phillip Daniels, coming back strong from that little touch-up he had in the spring from a surgery standpoint. But that's about as good an offensive line as you can put on the field in the country right now. And you saw, by the way, USC lost their starting center. In practice.
I did see that. I also saw Indiana added two defensive linemen.
There you go.
See that?
That's called bonus.
Yeah. They got two defensive linemen.
One of those was the guy that got hurt, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Did that happen too? Mm-hmm. So that's what you're seeing?
I don't know whether they've been hiding those guys over there in an asylum or something.
Maybe one of those silos they have.
Yeah, one of those leftover silos.
Do a little bit of that.
Before they put in the AI center there.
We all will judge. I usually ask the guests from one of the other teams, like, what standard will you hold this team
to? Data center is what I meant to say. Go ahead.
There you go. What standard will you hold this team to? I think it's to go win it all.
Win it all. But you know what? These eight, do you understand this? I know you do. You don't have to win them all to win it all. That's the thing.
That's your proof of that.
So yes.
When years ago, those used to be national championship photos that were in that location at the Woody Hayes. They've been replaced by college football playoff.
Yes.
Because it's not the same anymore.
No.
It's not win a bowl
game,
get voted in. It's a tournament. And so you don't know what the hell is going to happen.
You just want to get in it.
Just get in it. Give yourself a chance. And that's the deal.
But here's the thing. We're talking about this schedule real quick. We talk about this schedule, how tough it is. And it's really funny. We talk about Indiana, the trip to Indiana. If we were talking about this schedule, how tough it was 4 years ago, Indiana wouldn't be in the discussion.
2 years ago,
exactly.
I didn't take them seriously.
I mean, so
that's how quickly
schedules change. Toughness of schedules evolves, and
they do.
It's just they're playing a team from the Southeastern Conference, and they're playing the toughest teams in their own conference.
Yeah.
If they win all but one of those,
yep,
I think all but two of those maybe
10-2 is going to be more than enough with
the
schedule the way that it is.
I'm with you.
Good stuff.
I'm voting for you for Congress.
Don't want
it. Get in there and get something done, man.
I don't want it. We'll hit thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
You ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Cosby Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Connect with the show on X at 971-BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Buckeye practice day 2 starting to wind down here a little bit. We anticipate Arthur Smith
potentially James Smith, the transfer from Alabama, and Brandon Ennis joining us here live once the practice goes final here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, Purdue's got a new athletic director. Tommy McClelland comes over to West Lafayette, comes up to West Lafayette, I should say, after 3 years as the AD down at Rice. Had an introductory press conference yesterday. Had some pretty questionable things to say.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana. Purdue may not be the place for you.
Thing or not a thing.
What is the line on the... Is there a future line on Indiana-Purdue in that game?
Is that the Oaken Bucket
game? I think that's what it is, or the old Spittoon. Who the hell knows? We've never had to pay attention to it.
Hoosiers by a billion.
Hoosiers by a billion, Bake. By a billion. Cignetti is going to put out a cigarette on their face. He is going to beat them 77-7 in that game if he can. Why would you choose? It doesn't even make sense. Indiana just won it. I understand they're your rival. You're trying to slight, but what is the upside here? What in the hell is the upside here? They just won it. Like, if you're going to go to championships, you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana. They just won it.
They just won the whole thing.
What are you talking about?
Not only, guys, did Indiana just win it, but when they played Purdue last year, they beat them 56-3.
Okay. So, it's going to be 40.5. It's going to go over.
I do wonder when Kurt Cignetti's asked about these comments, if he pulls the Don Draper and says, I don't think about them at all.
That'd be a great line.
At this point, if you're Purdue's athletic director, I think you just say you're thrilled to have a job. Because what is the standard there? And to say something like, look, to his credit, it's kind of like the Akron thing. We are talking about Purdue.
He's got to
Ohio State football camp.
He's got to invigorate his base. He's got to get people. So I understand it, but there's no reason to put that name in your mouth after what they just did.
So I understand it too, but what if Jim Tressel had said 310 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and then lost? Kurt Cignetti came in and said, Purdue sucks, Ohio State sucks, Michigan State sucks, and didn't do what he did? I understand everybody wants to have their moment when they come into town and get everybody fired up, but also check your notes before you say something, because that's the defending national champion. Yeah, crazy. Go there if you want to win that. I wonder how many kids are like, man, I'm kind of torn between Purdue or Indiana.
Yeah, they're not competing for the same recruit in any sport but basketball. Purdue hasn't won an NCAA national championship in any sport since 2010. The women's golf team took that home. I mean, Matt Painter's been knocking at the door.
Yeah.
But
this might be like the ultimate Homer Simpson dope moment.
Dope. Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, remind us of this when they play that last week in November.
So earlier today, what was it, Monday, when the Falcons announced the Bijan Robinson extension?
Yeah, Monday, yeah.
So the Detroit Lions have now made Jahmyr Gibbs the highest paid running back in the league with a 3-year extension worth $67.5 million, $51.5 of that fully guaranteed. With incentives, he stands to make $75.75 million. Thing or not a thing?
I think a really cool thing, because what you're seeing is, let's not pigeonhole them as just backs. Let's call them what they are, which is weapons. So Jahmyr and Bijan are the two best at that. It's just weapons, Swiss Army knife problems you got to deal with. So he is critical to what Detroit is trying to do. So to me, that's a cool thing that he's being compensated for the talent that he is.
Do you guys remember a few years ago when the Detroit Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs 12th overall and people said, what are you doing?
Yep.
You can't draft that guy there. You can't draft a running back there, especially when you've got David Montgomery already.
Yep.
Well, they had a heck of a duo for the past few years, and David Montgomery has moved on, and I know Isaiah Pacheco has come in to kind of fill that role, and more of the load is going to
fall on the shoulders of Jahmyr Gibbs, but he's awesome. He's one of the best weapons in the NFL. That turned out to be a good draft pick. The real thing here might be all of the money that the Detroit Lions have had to give out here this offseason and some money that's due moving forward. The Detroit Lions might be heading towards salary cap hell.
Yeah, they got a mess on their hands is what they have. And that's a very astute observation out of you, Bake. Yeah, they're in I kind of feel with them that like there was a window and unfortunately they were too injured to walk through it. Because they're having to make a bit of a roster switch in real time here now, which is it's certainly a tough place to be. Buckeye camp is wrapping up. Practice number two is in the books. So I think what we're going to do, fellas, is we're going to take a quick timeout. And then on the other side of this timeout, we anticipate Arthur Smith, Brandon Innes, James Smith, among others, joining us here in the final hour of the program on a Friday. Bishop and Friends right here.
Testing live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Take a vacation from high interest rates with special rates on balance transfers at BMI Federal Credit Union, bmifcu.org/visa. We're out here day two of fall camp for the football Buckeyes. Ohio State's offensive coordinator Arthur Smith joins us next right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, you just heard from the handsome update anchor there. Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator, Ohio State, joins us here on set as we just wrapped up day two of training camp for Ohio State. Day two on the job in terms of training camp for you. I know the answer for all of this questions is you didn't get accomplished what you wanted to. That's typically it for a coach. They're perfectionists. 2 days in, are you seeing what you want to from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always look at that. You know, it's constant improvement. You know, you want to be objective and it's daily progress. I mean, that's what it is. It's a long journey. Right? If we want to be there at the end in Vegas, you know, we got to improve throughout the entire season. So just it's the progress. There's always things to work on. But what's cool to see is just from when I got here, spring one, to what you know day one looked like yesterday. Just the evolution. You know, all the work put in as we're starting to grow as an offense. That was pretty cool to see. And like you said, there's always things you got to work on. But that's why we coach.
When you took the job and you were having the conversations with Ryan, and obviously a guy with your resume has a lot of options, what was it about this spot at this time that was a fit for you?
Yeah, you just never know. You know, I've always been one that, you know, not afraid to for a new adventure. And, you know, I wasn't thinking about it, so he reached out to me, asked me if I'd had any interest. And I had talked to him a few times. You know, we didn't really know each other well. We didn't. You know, we never crossed over any staffs or anything like that, but had a lot of respect for him. You know, met him at Pro Days, so he hits me up. He didn't have his number, so I texted Will Howard. I was like, "Will, is this? You know, you never know, right? You get spam, right, yeah, whatever." Yeah. Will goes, "Yeah, confirmed. That is Coach Day." So I hit him back, and he called me, and I said, "You know, I'm not opposed to it. You know, I'm trying to figure it out. You know, things happen so fast in our profession. You know, we are in a playoffs, right? And then Coach Tomlin retires." And so you're like, all right, well, let's see what, you know, you got to go find work. And he's like, you want to get on a Zoom? I said, I'll just get in my truck and I'll drive down. So I drove down. We met for several hours. Good conversation. I had a couple other guys that I'd promised to, you know, talk to. I said, if you can give me a couple days, I understand, you know, whatever your timeline is, definitely interested. And so I talked to people I trusted, and a lot of them were players I've coached that played for him. You know, Justin Fields I had in 24. Obviously, we had Will. Jack Sawyer was around. Jeff Okuda, you know, I drafted Zach Harrison in Atlanta. So, you know, got some good perspective. And then Mike Vrabel, you know. And so then I talked to Coach Patricia, and he told me how awesome of an experience it was for him. And I said, this would be kind of cool. So just once I told him I'd commit, I'd go, Coach, I promise you I'm all in. And so here I am.
Well, we're very lucky to have you. When you have that first meeting and you're meeting these players and you're trying to get across what an Arthur Smith version of the Ohio State offense is, what are your non-negotiables?
Yeah, well, I think, too, you know, you come in and they've played a lot of good offensive football here. I mean, just look at the wide receiver, you know, the draft and the guys that are playing big-time football in the NFL that have come out of Ohio State, really all over the, you know, offense, defense, and special teams. And I have to say special teams because, you know, I had Liam McCullough. I don't want to leave him out. So, you know, it, and to me, a part of it, you know, what I thought would be cool was, you know, we were always challenged players, you know, to improve and grow. And, you know, this takes me out of my comfort zone, right? Learning a new, you know, little different nuances in college and the pros. Give different perspective. It's cool to see the way they've done things and, you know, kind of what his vision was as he's evolving, which I'd give Coach a lot of credit. He's won a lot of football games and, you know, the humility he has for a guy that's accomplished so much. And, you know, obviously Coach Patricia, myself are here. So, you're evolving, you know, trying to merge it because you don't want to – and I'm flexible. I've been in a lot of different systems, offense, defense, get the language, the teaching progressions. You know, you're kind of assessing everything as you're going back. But when you get with the players, it's really the style of play. And you want to adapt every year to the strength of your team. And a lot of people say that. It's not a rigid playbook. And so, you know, as you're assessing everybody, but I would say my non-negotiable is our style of play. And it's going to go up front.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be there at the end, whether you're in big-time college or in the NFL, if you want to, you know, have the confetti come down on you, you're going to have to win through the bigs. And that's not just the run game. It's, you know, the protection. But it's a style of play. And then the other thing would be the discipline. You know, that's the thing that no matter where you're at, like, you can't have the self-inflicted wounds, and those are all the little things. I mean, you really look what Indiana did. They just did the, you know, they were brilliant in the basics. They didn't beat themselves, and, you know, that's the things you got to be, you know, very cognizant of, and you're coaching, you know, the rules and all that stuff so you don't beat yourself.
Ohio State's offensive coordinator Arthur Smith kind enough to give us some of his time after day two of fall camp wrapping up at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. I'm curious, when you know, you're in the NFL, you're in college football, you're in that season silo. I'm curious of the Big Ten championship game last season or the college football playoff game against Miami. What did you watch any of those in the moment, or have you taken the time to go back and watch any of those tapes?
Yeah, you know, usually you see a little more of the college games when you're, you know, at the hotels on Saturday night. Most places I've been, and Coach Tomlin is great. You know, the TVs are in the meal rooms, you know, before you have meetings or after, and guys are getting snacks. And, you know, everybody's got a lot of pride in their schools. And, you know, we certainly had a couple of Ohio State, you know, we had Cam Hayward, I think, played here in the 50s with Coach LeBeau. So, Cam, you know, we had some Ohio State guys, obviously Jack and Will. And so, you know, you're always watching. And Ryan Shazier, he helped us out in 24. So, you're peeking it. But really when I got here is just watching the film, you know, the All-22, whatever you want to call it, the coach's film, and diving in. And just before, I kind of like to watch it just without any bias. And then, you know, with the staff, guys that have been here, then I'd watch it again, just kind of getting their thoughts and what you're assessing. And so, and that's really how you get to learn the roster. And so that's kind of what I did with all the games for the season.
So for the quarterback, you know, Julian Sain in those final two games, and I'm assuming at that point you haven't met him, but meeting him for the first time and then kind of getting the chance to work with him now into day two of fall camp, what's that been like?
Yeah, Julian's been awesome. I've been very, really impressed. Like, he's got a really instinctive football mind. You know, he's very, very intelligent above the neck. And when I first met him, I didn't realize it was him because I thought he was, like, you know, 14. I thought he was a coach's kid or something walking around the building. But I love his demeanor for a guy. You know, he's sharp. He works at it. He's been fun to work with.
Coach, I'll get you out of here on this one. I know you got to run. You coached a human being who, from a freak of nature standpoint, in Derrick Henry, that's hard to people to wrap your head around until you see in person. You got a couple on the offensive side here, but specifically number four.
Number four, yeah.
Obviously, until you see it in person, and now you've had him now for 6 months or so, what do you make of Jeremiah and just everything that he is and represents?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate. I've been around and gotten to coach and work with a lot of great players, you know, guys that will be gold jacket players. And it's, you know, everybody, comparison, you know, don't want to compare them to this guy. They're all different, right? They all have different strengths, and, you know, they're elite players. And Jeremiah's certainly that. And I've been impressed, too, with just his maturity, you know, his approach to the game. I mean, when I watch him, there's nothing I see that, like, there's not a route that he cannot run.
Yeah.
And he's a great teammate. I mean, it's just, I've been so impressed with the person. The player is, you know, obvious. You know, my 6-year-old could tell me, oh, that guy's good. But it's his mental makeup, watching him work, you know, all the stuff he does with Coach Mick, you know, the way he leads, very, very, very impressive.
Yeah, going to be fun. Going to be fun calling some plays for it. Coach, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
The time.
Thanks for having me.
Lucky
appreciate
to have
it.
You
I appreciate
here in
y'all.
Town, and great to see you, buddy.
Thank
great
you.
To see you. Arthur Smith joining us live here, day two of Buckeye Camp, and I believe we're going to do a live switch to Mr. Ennis, who's going to jump on right now as he's coming in, of course. King, we're doing work. Adam King just trying to intercept. Don't
FaceTime with everybody.
We're in the middle of things. We're live, and this guy's got to intercept. Brandon, stop for that, man. Come on,
that's my
buddy.
Dog. That's my dog.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see y'all.
Hey, man, 2 days in.
Yep.
How we doing?
Great. Yeah, great first day, you know. Got find a routine of things, you know, and then I came out here, had a good second day. Just with the new offense, you know, filling things out, you know, and we had a great day, first 2 days.
How do you, as a veteran, as a leader, as one of the faces, we've never had anything quite like this many new faces.
Yeah,
pretty selective in our process in the portal. Mm-hmm. This was some big numbers.
Yeah.
How do you make sure because I would assume it's a balancing act. Welcoming guys in, mm-hmm. but also this is the standard.
Yeah.
So that can take some tough love, mm-hmm. but then there's also like put your arm around you, welcome to the brotherhood. How did you manage that as one of the leaders?
Yeah, at first it was definitely different. So as a leader and a captain, so it was a kind of a challenge. You know, we never had this before. So I got here, and the first thing you do is embrace guys you bring in the room, no matter who they are, what background they come from, because at the end of the day, we're all a family. And we're all a brotherhood. And we came, KP and Devin came in from transfer portal, and then all the freshmen came in, and we just wrapped our arms around them. The older guys wrapped our arms around them, opened them with open arms, you know. And then after that, it was like, we know the standard of this room. You know, the history of this room is like no other school in America, and they know that day in and day out. I mean, from meetings to extra work, like, we got to be different than everybody else in the country, and they know that. We got that message to them pretty well. So, yeah.
Ohio State's Brandon Ennis, kind enough to give us some of his time at the day two fall camp at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Brandon, I'm curious, a captain last season taking on a greater leadership role,
yes, sir.
Going into this season, what would you say have you grown as a leader, and then how would you define this team? We know who leads. We know the players. We know the names. But is it a vocal leadership? You know, we just had Arthur Smith on. And I know, you know, he coached Will Howard in Pittsburgh, and I think of that guy. But I don't know if that kind of vocal leadership's with this team. Would you agree with that statement? And how would you assess their leadership?
Yeah, I think we do have a lot of great leadership. I think we have a lot of vocal leaders. I think we have a lot of guys that came back this year that knew the standard, and we have also guys that won the national championship in 24 season that knew the standard and what we have to do. And the guys before us left a great example, like Will and Jack Shore and Emeka and all them guys. So we know what has to be done. We have a lot of great leaders, and you said the identity of this team.
Yeah,
the identity of this team is going to be a hard fighting, dominant, physical, explosive team, and just going to win games in the fourth quarter, and that's going to be the biggest thing for us.
What's the biggest thing that the average fan will notice the Arthur Smith influence on the Ohio State offense?
I think they'll see a lot of explosive plays. I think they'll see a lot of concepts that they'll like. You know, everybody has their own opinions. They might not like something. But I think they'll see a lot of explosive plays, a lot more explosive offenses here.
When you guys met him for the first time, what would you describe was the tone of the first meeting, and what has been something that's been consistent? They use the term non-negotiables. What are the things that are non-negotiables for him?
Got to be physical. First of all, you got to know what to do, actually. You got to know what to do, because if you don't know what to do, you can't play. But then after that, you got to be physical. You got to have a mentality that we're different than everybody else. And then everybody has to have the same mindset of being explosive. Like, we have to create explosive plays, because that's how we're going to blow teams out the water, because the defense we're going to bring back, I know they lost a lot, but Coach Patricia and them guys will always be ready. So defense is going to get a lot of stops for us. But the more we can be explosive and the more points we can put up, the best will be.
One thing that we noticed, we looked back on a circumstance when you were talking about a returning quarterback.
Yep.
Last year at this time, Julian's battling for the job with Lincoln. He inevitably wins the job. Now he's had the entire offseason as the dude. He's bodied by Mick, all of these other things. What do you notice different from him last year to this year?
Vocal leadership. That's the biggest thing. When he mentioned vocal leadership, I seen Julian, you know, talk a lot in the weight room this offseason. I seen on the field the first two practices, so I'm glad to see that. And then command of the offense. You know, last year I think he was kind of still like feeling his way in the early on preseason stuff like that, because he was battling. So I don't know, like, if he didn't want to like overstep or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, this year I see a lot more command of the offense, vocal leadership, and it's great to see.
Brandon, a couple guys coming in from the transfer portal, Duke, Florida State, Alabama, played a ton of football. Going up against those guys every day, just kind of from getting to know them as players, like, who from that portal group on that defensive side of the ball are we not talking about enough yet?
I think I mentioned Earl a little before, mm-hmm. but he's kind of everybody starting to open their eyes, and they have from his Florida State highlights and stuff like that. Earl Little for sure. But Christian Legro, I mean, he's gonna be a dog for us. Everybody, I think Buckeye Nation is gonna love how he plays physical. Big guy, sideline and sideline type of guy, but I think Christian Legro for sure. James Smith as well, D-line.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure, humongous body. I feel like those two guys are going to, Buckeye Nation is going to love.
Brandon, how do you lose, and I guess it's normal here, you lose four of the top 12 picks in the NFL draft, mm-hmm. the poll comes out, you're number one in the country.
Yeah. I think it's just a... It's an open the door around here. You got guys coming in, and it just keeps going and going and going. But, I think that's just the standard Coach Day has, the next guy up mentality. Them guys left, and now who's going to replace them guys? That's what he taught to us. And then when number one in the country, we won't worry about that until the end of the year. And then national championship, when that's when we'll be the number one team in the country.
You're the man, buddy.
Appreciate y'all.
Good luck this season.
You,
stay healthy.
Thank you so much.
Brandon is joining us. One of the leaders, one of the faces of this Ohio State program. Practice number two has wrapped up. We'll continue to paint the pictures here coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Man once shaved Timmy's leg live on the air. Tune in weekdays at 3 to see what else they'll shave.
Wait, what else they'll shave? Who the hell wants to listen to that?
Common Man and Timmy. Smooth as silk.
Okay, the fan. Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. 10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying. It's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Well, this is going to be a real treat. James Smith coming in, comes from Bama. I asked him in the break, I said, where are you from? He said, Montgomery. I said, you're north. And he goes, I thought it was south. So then I said, well, did you know the Buckeyes growing up? Like, were you a fan? And you looked at me and you went, please.
Yes, come on. Definitely, I definitely knew of them. So it was like, I'm on the phone with Coach Day. He not believing that people was coming from the south to play up here, like, which it was unthought of back then for somebody to really come down there and play up here because you got Bama, all these SEC schools.
Yep.
But in my mind, I'm like, I really come up here, like, because my family right there and my dad just selling the whole gym, you being closer with your family up here and stuff like that. No hit back. So it's like a full circle almost, like, now I'm here, now this, and now he just all made his dream for real.
So you had your family was from Cleveland.
My mom and my dad.
And your dad, Buckeyes.
Buckeyes, through and through. Buckeyes hat at the Bama game.
Buckeyes hat at the Bama game.
He had a Buckeyes hat at the Bama game.
How'd that go over?
Anybody really going to say nothing? Because, like,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I'm out there, so it's like, okay, that is James dad, but he's tripping right now. Like,
so what an incredible experience. And look, we've had this around here. We had Caleb, obviously, and Seth and Julian. And so obviously Julian was there just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like we've had this situation now in this modern college football where that's an option. When it comes time for you to get in the portal, and and obviously you have the personal connection, what was that process like for you? And what ended up being the determining factor that led you here?
Mr. Downs himself.
Yeah.
On the phone, you know how, like, somebody telling you, but I'm knowing him. I know him as, like, I'm with him every day. I was always with him every day. So it's like, I knew he wouldn't lead me wrong. Like, I'm knowing, like, you know how somebody tell you something, you can go off their word?
Yep.
He is almost like, I'm not telling you to come up here, James, but if you do, this would be a nice move. So I'm like, okay, Caleb, okay. Because he don't really want me to make the decision because of him.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, so I was like, okay.
We call him Mr. Downs, too.
Mr. Downs.
He probably deserved that.
Yeah, he deserved it.
What's been the biggest difference to you just philosophically from what you were doing defensively to Bama to what Matt expects out of you guys here?
Really, I really want to say it's too much because as a D coordinator, you really want your D line to be, what, disruptive and all that. They want the same things at Bama, but, like, it's almost here. It's like, we're not really the gap. We ain't chasing that. We chasing the ball.
Yep.
So if the ball go there, go where he going.
Yeah.
That's valid, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's an incredible story. Mm-hmm. James Smith, kind enough to give us some of his time, day two of Buckeye Camp, wrapping up here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. Just, you know, you an Alabama teammate, come up north, you're playing in Columbus. Has it been everything that Mr. Downs said it was going to be like so far? I know you're only in day two.
That and more. Like, it's been that and more. You know how, like, you can only say so much good about a certain thing until you really get up there and you really fall into it and really just be all in, as Coach like to say. Coach like to say, be all in. Mm-hmm. And really just, like Coach Jay said, just give it all to me. and I'm going to take care of it. So it's like, it's real. And Coach P is like, you know.
Oh, I mean, we had Matt Patricia on yesterday. Yeah. His energy is so infectious. And it's authentic.
Like, yeah, it's not like it's like we just doing it because like we on camera thing. That's real. That's really him. Like every day. Like every day.
And there's, you know, the two programs have so much in common in terms of what they mean to their fan bases, what they mean to the states. Mm-hmm. The one thing that's different here, obviously the size of the city here is different. And then there is no Auburn in this state.
Yeah, it's just us.
It's just the Buckeyes. So there's a responsibility that comes with that. One that you know because of your family and the fact that your dad grew up here and mom grew up here, all of those things. What has it been like to be a part of that?
Really tremendous, because you really wouldn't understand how much it really means to them until you're in it. Because you're in it, you understand, like, they're not playing about it. Like, it's not like, okay, I go for them, it's cool. Like, we lose, we win. Nah, we must win. Like, ain't no, like, ain't nothing else going on. Like, you're going to win, or that's it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is the, I mean, for a city this size, 3.5 million, you're the team of record.
You feel me? So it's really, that was really so real for me, like, coming up here. Because I was like, I didn't really understand it until, like, you get to seeing the fans, you get to seeing, because once they're behind you, they're behind you. They'll ride. You know what I'm saying? They with you, like, no matter what. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I really like that about them.
One thing I noticed about you, very obviously, and I'm sure it's coming through on the air too, you have an incredible natural charisma to you.
Yeah.
Natural leadership. I'm guessing people have followed you your whole life. When you paratroop into a new situation, how do you manage your natural charisma leadership with people who have been here, new faces? How does that go?
I honestly came in kind of like trying to build my respect, like, working hard, not really saying much, like, so they can really understand, like, okay, I see that part of him, but let me, so he may know what he's talking about. He may have a better insight, or like what he's saying may mean a little more, because I've seen what he has done, like put it all aside, and he really went with his hat on and worked every day and stuff like that. That's all my biggest thing, because I don't really want to, like, come in here, I don't want to expect anything, you know, I don't want to, like, have anything, like, really just given to me. I need everybody, like, to understand, like, we're not too much apart, you know.
Yep.
Hey, I'm right around the corner. We're just working every day, you know?
One of your newest Buckeyes, James Smith, kind enough to join us. Have you found anything around here that you must go to after practice or after camp? Like, where are you eating? I know they're good.
Hey, Town Hall. I wouldn't lie to you. Town Hall, they food is great. I'm not going to lie.
And they pay you and us nothing to say that.
Nothing. Nothing to say that.
What do you get?
I get steak. You get the cookie skillet. You know, nutrition. They don't need to be. You feel me? That's just. This, we're gonna keep
get
this
you
here.
Trouble.
Yeah, it's confidential. But we just go. Hey, you get that cookie skillet with the steak with the. Because really, I think I went like Saturday before camp. I had to go. I went steak. Then I think I went pizza, Korean pizza, barbecue pizza.
Oh.
Then I went the skillet. It's kind of healthy too, because they throw a little green on there for me. Man, look. Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, like, I'll eat the green. I'll eat some green. You hear me?
It's farm to table, buddy.
Yeah. And hot head burritos.
That's all right there.
Bro, I never knew until I got it. Yep. I'm like, what is this? I said, I'm going to need him. I'm going to need him every day.
What do you think of that gentleman right there, Mr. Schlegel?
That's a Buckeye.
That's a Buckeye.
Yeah. That's a Buckeye.
I used to do a segment with him called Surviving with Schlegs. So
and
I would
it's
say,
real.
Oh, dude. Yeah, he hunts pigs with
crossbow.
His hands.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a real guy there.
And it's not like, okay, I did like once or twice, and I kind of enjoy it. Like, it's cool. Nah, it's real. Like, I go do that Saturday, Sunday, off day. I'm going to go do that.
Look at the look. See?
He knows we're talking about him.
All right, buddy, we'll get you out of here on this. Greatly appreciate your time.
Definitely.
What do you want the audience to know about what this 2026 Buckeye defense is going to be?
I want you guys to understand that we're trying to come out here and really fly around, be close as really as one, so we can understand each other and just fly around. Because, like, we came to get people. We're going to persevere through what just happened and get back to it. Because, like, what I'm saying is, like, I want y'all to understand we're trying to fire around, be violent, like, just be all together, very electric defense. Like, we're trying to, like, come together. It's like a lot of new faces. A lot of people don't understand each other. So it's like, just coming together, be one team, and be most as violent. And, like, be unselfish, like, very unselfish. You know, like, a lot of people will have, like, goals and stuff right now.
Yep.
But it's all essentially all, like, putting that all aside just for the Buckeyes.
So one thing I always do is when a new guy comes in, I'm always curious what number they give them.
Yeah.
They give you a single digit, you're a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Single digits go to dudes.
Y'all know about the dudes?
I know about the dudes. I know how that works. Been around here a long time,
but I don't like to say I'm a dude, but everybody says I'm a dude.
You get a single.
Yeah, it shows.
You get
a
single, you're a dude. I'm going to tell you what, folks. You are. If you didn't already, you're going to love this dude.
Yeah.
Get your threes. You're going to like him a lot. Buddy, great time. Thank you. Great to have you.
James,
that was awesome. Mm-hmm. James Smith, natural leadership charisma in spades with that dude in this Buckeye defense is going to be a fun one. We'll continue. Bishop and Friends right here on the field.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The perfect show for quarter zips and khaki shorts. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
When we're out here tomorrow, I'm going to give that headset to Tito, the one that James Smith just wore, post-Buckeye practice. Fall camp day number two out here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. I don't know if we'll top that one. That was as naturally infectious energy. We are.
I feel like I'm done. Like, Rothman and I are next.
So that's what I was saying. Haven't we
leave on a high note like Costanza? Well, all right then. See you later. Like, that's... I don't know how we do better than that. I mean, you just had Arthur Smith, who I don't think has done any other media in that sense.
Haven't
in town.
Much.
So you had him, which was really illuminating, and then you get Brandon Innes, who we knew. I mean, obviously, one of the leaders, one of the just central figures of whatever this operation is going to be this year. He'll be at the center of it. And then you get a new guy in James Smith, who just is a hell of a personality and was ready to go. This is something that, you know, guys, remember, Bacon, remember we talked about this in the portal and all of that. We talked about shotgun marriages. And that you're not getting a chance to properly vet some of these guys is why. Because you can't.
Yeah.
Your introduction, it's 2 weeks. And so one of the things that they have to be so critical with is finding out what makes a guy tick in a 2 week standpoint. So in a case like James, who's a guy who had Ohio ties, whose parents are from Cleveland, who loved the Buckeyes. I mean, that's an incredible anecdote. Mm-hmm. His dad wore Buckeye hats while he's playing,
for Bama.
Crying out loud. But that's an instance where, okay, there is a past, there's a connective mm-hmm. tissue here that makes that an easier ask. And I think Ryan and Mark and everybody here with the personnel side of things has just done a masterful job of finding new faces that they have familiarity with. It's really a remarkable thing they've done.
It helps in the best defensive player the country is recruiting as well.
It helps, yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Mr. Downs.
It wasn't lost on me that he was a teammate with Caleb Downs, and he talked to Caleb Downs before coming here. Also, Matt Patricia was fantastic. James Laurinaitis, always great. James Smith is the best interview since I've been a part of this show. That guy just gets it. He's awesome.
Dude, he's in the... That's not even all of it from a personality standpoint with that dude.
Like, no, before we hit the air, I'm like, can we just get all this?
Go.
Like, that's got a lot of Tyvus in it right there.
He was ready to go.
Yeah.
He was absolutely ready to go. Hey, look at this. It's Friday at 11:30. Mr. Le Maurice is walking by. You got a couple minutes? Or you got things you got to do? We're on. You want to hop on?
Let's give it. So James just had that headset.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And James Smith just wore this one, so we are sweaty headset.
Oh, jeez. Reese did just take a bullet.
Yes.
He just took a bullet for you, Doug.
I appreciate it.
How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty dang cool.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. You know, you and I talk about, you know, we do the business of this a lot. We love the football of it a lot. This is nobody else in college football is doing this yet. Like, no one in the South is having an open practice with, like, an NFL training camp practice where you get fans get to touch it, but also there's a revenue component to it.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, when we get all the way there, right? Because we see what the Browns are doing, and it's just, like, it's just part of the system. And I think college coaches are probably just, by nature, maybe a little more secretive. The game, I think, has evolved that way, and so they would have to get their heads around that of, what, there's people in here. There's media in here every single practice, but I do think it's a revenue stream opportunity. They need to seize every single revenue stream opportunity. I think the chance for fans to absorb your program, to feel part of your program, it's never a negative for fans to feel more connected to you. So this, I think, is a fantastic step for fans, but I'm continually wondering about the evolution of it, if we ever get to the point where it's every practice.
So you're talking about in the NFL upwards of 10 training camp practices that are open, maybe sometimes up to 15.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing three. Take the revenue on a couple of thousand tenfold.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, yeah, it's a great point. There is something, and you and I have this in common, that we've both seen both sides of it. College coaches are far more worried about all of that, maybe just because they've never had it. Maybe the NFL's just always had it, and so it just is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Has there ever been, like, a cheating scandal where somebody was spying on other teams that maybe would have created some paranoia
about it
in the sport? I'm trying to remember if there is
did
one.
That happen? Quick
Google. But it's been more parochial, right? It's more regional. Mm-hmm. But on one hand, I'm kind of waiting for that. On the other hand, it's like nobody puts out depth charts anymore. Because like Jim Harbaugh stopped doing depth charts. And it's like, that's it. If he's not doing it, we're not doing it. And all of a sudden, remember when you had a two deep?
Yeah,
for sure. And it's like, nobody, I don't know, does anybody do that anymore? And so, like, there's a part of it, it's like, so you can see that they'll seize opportunities to provide less info, but also I think opening up, and I don't know, it's easy for a media guy to say this, I just think it's good for the relationship between the fans and the program. Open it up.
I agree. What are your impressions of what you've seen here, the number one team in the country?
Hard to find something new to say. It's like Devin McEwen looks like a dude, right?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's a unanimous opinion across the board. I actually spent all day today just watching Chris Henry Jr., so mm-hmm. I'm going to write about that at BillAndDougShow.com, just like watching that guy and what he's doing and how they're using him. And the thing that we've talked a lot, I think everyone's talked all offseason, is if you're going to have defenses focus on Jeremiah Smith, who is the make-em-pay receiver? Like Carnell Tate, you can't find a better example of that. It's like, oh, you're going to lean a safety over here, you're going to double. Oh, look, well, there goes that. And you were curious, like, if Chris Henry Jr. could ever be on the field with JJ and maybe make that happen. And then you just, like, Devin McEwen just, like, running around like a maniac. It's like, oh, no, it's probably that guy.
Yeah.
So I think Chris Henry Jr. will have a role. I think Brock Boyd will have a role. But it feels like they, you know, for a team that had not gone on the portal at receiver, it seems like they found a guy who can make people pay if you're going to overemphasize covering the best receiver in the country.
You have a situation here where two former NFL head coaches. Matt was such a stunning success last year, number one defense, maybe the best defense we ever had around here. And now Arthur comes in.
Yep.
We just had him on 20 minutes ago. And, you know, he had, much like Matt, a reputation as being a little prickly. But it was almost like that this was like a breath of fresh air to him, like getting into this college game again. Well, we all think it's in this mess that it's in. Like, there is also, like, this development thing that he hasn't done since he was at Ole Miss in 2010. Like, he hasn't done this type of thing. What do you anticipate his impact on the offense to be, and what does it have to be for this team to justify the number one ranking?
I think he's arguably the most important person associated with Ohio State football for this season. I think you could argue, and we, you know, Bill and I did this the other week, best coordinator combos in the country. I think the only coordinator combo that's in the same area as Ohio State is Indiana, with Mike Shanahan on offense and Brian Haynes on defense back. But I think Arthur Smith and Matt Patricia, when you think about that, you compare it to Oregon with two new coordinators, both promoted in-house. The offensive coordinator is like the number one reason I'm pulling back on Oregon. Sark as a play caller at Texas, and they got rid of the DC and brought in Will Muschamp. Is that going to work? You know, Chris Ash had a bumpy start at Notre Dame last year defensively. Like, do they have all that sorted out? I don't have any questions about the guys calling the plays for Ohio State. And I think the difference of what you saw with a veteran guy with Chip Kelly to a guy in Brian Hartline who hadn't done it before, I think Arthur Smith might even be the next evolution beyond Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
And I just think I just think there's a chance it's going to be like, holy moly.
Yeah.
And we were standing in the hallway last year after the Orange Bowl, and Ryan Day and Matt Patricia were really talking to each other right after that loss, right? And you could really see them talking as peers, talking as equals, right? Hey, what do you think about this? And we were standing there saying to ourselves, I think Ryan Day needs a relationship like that on the offensive side of the ball. It's not a shot at Brian Hartline, but that was a mentor-mentee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to teach you, you know, I've done it, you haven't. It's just the way it works, right? It's different. Arthur Smith, it's an equal relationship. And so for Ryan Day to have that on both sides, you know, I'm leading everything, but I have a lot of ideas, but let me bounce this off Matt as an equal. Let me bounce this off Arthur as an equal. Even the Chip thing.
Yep.
is a little mentor mentee. Like they're, you know, like of course it's Ryan, but Arthur's just here because he's smart and he has a great resume. And I just think we might feel it like immediately.
Yeah.
And it could be as important as anything that happens with this team.
Bill and Doug Show on YouTube, BillandDougShow.com, talking all things Ohio State football. Doug LaMaurice, our guest. Is there going to be a marriage, and I guess how long does that conversation have to be, from where Ryan Day and his offensive philosophy last season was, and what Arthur Smith's going to come in here and look at all these weapons and say, we could maybe be a Ferrari? And I think fans, they want to see that. But you also, I think, have to acknowledge 12 games in a season, a difficult stretch, certainly more difficult than it's been. But how do you see that, if there is a marriage, or does one side win out over the other?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, right, Ryan's got the offense. Yeah. They have all the play groupings, and you pull this magnet and that magnet. And like, that's not changing. Arthur has his influences. I think that's always good. You don't want to get stale, right? You don't want to live in a box. You want to have some outside influences. You don't want to only have guys from your tree. But I think it's more just like in the nuance of how an offense works. And that is both in game planning during the week and then calling it on Saturday.
Yeah.
And again, play calling, art and a science. But there is just like that vibe. And even like you can see them, everybody gets all fired up. It's like, they're up tempo in practice. Oh my God. But it's not about being fast. It's about being varied. It's about seizing opportunities. Ryan had talked about that, I think, in Chicago. Times when they need to elongate the game, times when they need to shorten the game. And it felt like maybe times last year when it was time to go, hey, we need to elongate this game. And maybe they couldn't do it all the way. And it's just like some of that even. So there's the stylistic, are there more tight ends? What's the run game going to look like? That kind of thing. But I think it's just like the feel for the game. And again, it's just the comparison. Brian Hartline had never done it. Arthur Smith has done this for a very long time. You can't – how do you get a feel for something? You do it.
Yeah.
And so I just think that will show up. And I what they did with for Hartline as a first-time play caller and Julian Sand as a first-time starter against Texas last year, what they did on offense, they did what they had to do to win the game, which is dial it back, let the defense win it. I think like what we see against Texas in week two is going to be a 180. I think this is going to be let it rip. Holy moly, this is offense.
I think you're probably right. It's fun to talk ball.
Isn't it?
It's nice.
Any legislation questions?
We had Ross on it. He was on the phone about
pre-interview.
Did the interview. Talked about it a little. Talked about some other things. Talked about it a little. And it's just like, I'm not going to hold my breath on this thing, man. I just don't know.
I don't know what cloture is, and I'm never going to learn
that term this week.
Never.
Care.
I'm not going to learn it.
Feels like a civics lesson with our college football.
Feels like something you do when you elect a pope.
Yeah.
Like, is there a plume? Like,
I don't know.
I don't know what's happening, but we'll see. Always great seeing you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
As always, the great Doug LaMaurice joining us. Three things on a Friday coming up next.
Football. Training camp report.
This report is brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass and Bob's Discount Furniture. Everybody who follows college football knows about wide receiver Jeremiah Smith and the big impact he's had on Ohio State in the last 2 years. As he gets ready for this season, his focus is where he feels it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really focus on what's in the future. I focus on what's right now. And, you know, that's Ohio State football. And, you know, that's the team. And that's the main focus right now. I'm not really focused on NFL and stuff like that, but trying to make everybody around me better. And that's what all the greats did. Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, that's what LeBron James is doing. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to leave, you know, the jersey better than what I found it. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Smith says he's also trying to have a good impact on his teammates.
Leaving an impact on the people that's coming behind me. Guys like Chris Ingram Jr., Jaquaden Guilford, Brock Boyd, guys like that. Just leaving an impact on them guys. And like I said, leaving the jersey better than what I found it. So, yeah.
We'll have more after this.
Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bobopedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safelite Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at safelite.com. Safelite Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safelite, you pay.
I replace.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center, the team physicians for Ohio State athletics.
There's no doubt that any success that Ohio State has, especially on offense, will have to do with the contributions of wide receiver Jeremiah Smith. A lot expected of him. But he's also been working and building a chemistry with his quarterback, Julian Sain.
Yeah, it's been good. Me and Julian have been with each other all summer. Coach Mick had us together, working out with each other, pushing each other to a very high level. And, you know, we've both been, you know, stepping out of our comfort zone, pushing each other, pushing everybody in the program to, you know, get to our level. So that's what we've been doing this offseason.
And Smith also offers his thoughts on where he sees how his quarterback has improved his game coming into 2026.
Yeah, I mean, Julian, he's got bigger, he got faster, he got stronger, becoming more of a leader. No, being a dog and having more swag to himself about himself. So that's one thing about him that stuck out.
And certainly there's the anticipation that this is most likely the last time that Buckeye fans will see Jeremiah Smith wearing a scarlet and gray uniform. We'll have another report tomorrow. This is Paul Keels, and you're listening to the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Sponsored by To Sail Buckeye Nation. Join us February 19th to February 26th, 2027, as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer out of Barbados on the Silver Sea, Silver Ray. Meet more than 35 Buckeye greats plus some of your favorite current Buckeyes, all while making memories and helping beat cancer. You don't want to miss this ultimate Buckeye fan experience. We can't wait to see you on board. Let's celebrate 20 years of making a difference. Visit BuckeyeCruise.com for more information.
Paul Keels here, voice of the Ohio State Buckeyes. You have to check out the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Buckeye sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeye MVP membership upgrade for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
Life is full.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The best facial hair on the air. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, what do we have on the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, what's the biggest storyline from Ohio State's preseason camp? Your options are the Legend Bay suspension, Ohio State's offensive line configuration, starters at running back, wide receiver, something else. 45% say Legend Bay and the suspension of the freshman wide receiver. The O-line configurations, 33% starters at running back, wide receiver, 13%. And then 7% say something else.
I think one thing that you try to do when you're at something like this is you try to listen to the people you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen to coordinators. I look at the players. I want to know who are the guys they're mentioning. Okay, so twice, both coordinators, by the way, and I think Brandon Ennis, Earl Little. So we had that in the advance of camp. I'd been hearing whispers about him.
Yeah.
So when you have people just bringing up names, write those down, folks. Pay very, very close attention to that. The other name that jumped out was Devin McCune, and that came from Doug. So mm-hmm. Doug's been down there listening to watching
seeing the ones.
Chris Henry, seeing the ones. They were down on that far end, so we didn't get a chance to see really that offensive pop. But I think it's noteworthy that he looks like a dude down there.
Yeah.
And that is a name we haven't talked. We talked about him in the process, but maybe we ought to spend a little bit more time about that. So when you're out here tomorrow broadcasting, if you're one of the folks that are coming out here, mm-hmm. pay attention. If you're one of those fans who listens to all the press conferences, all of that, listen for the names that they volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that you need to pay attention to, Bake.
Bo, there's also, and like you guys are there, you get to see it in person. I'm back here, I'm watching you guys, and I'm monitoring Twitter. Another name that came up a lot today from a lot of people was Jay Timmons. He's a freshman cornerback. I guess he lined up with the ones at nickel today, and there's a lot of people, even Buckeye players, talking about Jay Timmons.
Boy, I'm looking for what was a number on him? That's the thing that's also tricky, too, is you're trying to track all of this down.
Is he 25 as well, like Bo Jackson?
He is. That's that. Okay. I did see him in that group. So there was confusion because at one point there were two 25s, so that explains it.
Yes.
Because Bo was running with the twos, and the ones would have had Timmons at nickel, so you had two 25s out there. So, yeah, those are the things to pay attention to, fans. If you're curious who's going to pop or what the real truth is on who's going to be a dude, that's a good way to do it. Time for three things. Go ahead, Baker.
I was just going to say one other thing because I had asked about this earlier on the offensive line. It sounds like Saravold was back at left tackle today. Josh Padilla was at right guard, and Philip Daniels and Ian Moore were splitting time with the ones at right tackle.
So good information there. That doesn't surprise me. I think they're, you mentioned this, Reese, earlier, too. I think they're just going to shuffle that until they find the five
best.
Find the five. They like all of them, but it's like, who are going to be the five best? And you have somebody like Sarah Vold, who's like a Swiss Army knife, who can kind of bounce around. So something to pay attention to this weekend, and then obviously next week when we really get into this thing. Time for three things on a Friday. Hit it, guys.
One, two. Three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So a little bit of a tradition we've been doing. I bring the boys, and they get a take in on this and all this incredible access they get from the great Chris Quinn and all the folks at Travel Partners. And then today they were hanging out with Dommy's little grandson, little Gio. And so then you get the Uncle Dom experience, too. And when you get the Uncle Dom experience, then all of a sudden you get pictures with Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sain and all of this. And I would just say that it's humbling for me as a parent and as someone who's been in this market now. This will be my 20th football season covering Ohio State, to see their love, but also the way that everybody embraces them and all of it. So just very appreciative for everybody who kept an eye on them, because they were without, needless to say, my oldest is slightly a little jealous
about all of it. Yeah.
That he's back doing two-a-days with, and his mom's back there. So they've had like an apex experience. So just incredibly thankful for everybody who helped with that.
So we had talked about this earlier in the show with Texas. They had made it official earlier this morning. Offensive lineman Cole Hudson has rejoined the Longhorns after regaining a fifth year of eligibility. So with that judge in Colorado last week ruling for 2022 players to get a fifth year, he is joining the Longhorns. He was with the Browns and the Cowboys at their rookie mini camps. So, you know, good news for Sarkisian. The Longhorns, I know Sark had made him, you know, had talked about it at SEC Media Day, saying they wanted to get him back into the fold. Now it is officially official. And this, I think, will just be the first of many.
Guys, first thing for me, Bo, you and I talk about this a lot. Reese, a little, but not so much. But you want to... holy cow, I feel really old moment. 34 years ago today,
oh no,
Shaquille O'Neal signed his first NBA contract after being the number one pick with the Orlando Magic. There's no way was 34 years ago, Bo.
No. Thanks, team player. I didn't need that on a Friday to just remind myself how old I am. I mean, I got to deal with that enough. Now, it feels like yesterday. I can't believe it was that long. Absolutely nuts. Last thing, we're probably not going to get to all three. So last thing that I would just say is I don't know why more schools don't do this. I don't know why. I think Doug bring up a good point. We've talked about it before. I don't know. They should probably do 10 days of this. I'm sure Ryan wouldn't be crazy about it. But 10 days of it. This is such a layup in this market, with this population, with this passion, to do something like this. It is something that I know that I don't know that everyone's fully aware of it. We talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
If you're still on the fence for tomorrow, Reese will be out here broadcasting tomorrow. This is a spectacular fan experience with this program, with these players. There's an intimacy to it. They've really threaded the needle in a very nice way.
Like you said, I'll be out here with Thidoff tomorrow from 10 to 1, Saturday Spectacular. I'm going to try to get him to hit a blocking sled, because I think we'll be outside for that.
I want him in one of those ice baths.
I was thinking about that, but especially after now, you're kind of just swimming in feet water.
That's true.
I maybe see Tito be the tackling dummy for James Smith. That might be good.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, that might be obliterate, like Thanos snapping.
That's exactly what I want right there. Him just getting pummeled.
James Smith, number three, our new favorite player here on the program.
Maybe we'll have him hit King into Thidoff.
That would
so I can
be
take them both out.
Amazing.
Yeah. Right?
Second thing for me, Rothman and Ice coming up on your Friday afternoon. Joshua Perry in with Matty Ice, so that's already good right there. They're going to continue the college football talk all day long.
They're going to have a good time with that, because Josh was out here yesterday and saw all of that. So you're going to get a lot of great insight. Enjoy your weekend. If there are still tickets available, get here Saturday. You will not regret it. Tune in to Reese tomorrow as he paints the pictures as well. This was a privilege. It's a treat. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bishop and Friends right here.